welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Big O'Brien.
Hello!
Well, I will say this. I don't have anything to talk about in particular, although I'll think of something in about 11 seconds and go on about it for 19 minutes. So if you would like to talk to us, 866-901-ADAM. Phone lines wide open, and as I always say, they sort of close down as the show moves on, or at least we close down. We get busy with other things. Molly Sims is coming in here. We're not going to talk to your ass. We're going to give away some Playboy tickets. I don't think we'll talk to your ass because the phone lines will be jammed. You see, right now, no one's on the phones. When I say we're going to give away some tickets to Playboy Mansion, then the phones get jammed and you don't get through. Huell Hauser. We're going to take a bite of his jerky.
What's he doing?
He's going to UCLA to check out the rideshare program.
Oh. Inside the glory hole.
Speaking to people on medium-sized buses is great entertainment. So we'll talk to Huell. Christopher Titus is going to be on the show.
Always fun.
We're going to do Who the F Sells This S. Then there's news, and then we go home. So the point is we'll not be able to talk to you after this very small window closes. People?
I'm
intentionally trying not to think of things.
Why?
Because I want to talk to people on the phone, and then once I get launched down some highway of complaint or some highway of thought or reason, now it's gone. I won't talk to anyone
anymore.
Have
you ever done this where you see that the phone line is lit up, but you don't know the person's name nor why they're calling? Right now, we have 9 calls, but Teddy hasn't had time to tell us anything.
We have a triple threat dilemma going on. He's actively trying not to think of something to say. You're seeing people and wondering what it is we're going to end up saying, and I can only think of one thing to talk about, and I've been told, whatever you do, don't talk about it.
Oh.
We're talking about Johnny Fairplay?
I would not know.
Who screens these calls?
Eric. Maybe Eric wants to talk about it. Let's see. He's on. All right. I'm going to talk to someone who I just see a number up there for.
Yeah, this is fun.
Hello, caller.
Hello?
Caller. What's your name, caller?
So far,
that's why
it's
you don't
a bust.
Do this.
Yeah.
Caller.
Please try your call again later.
Wait, look, line 5.
Somebody loves the show.
That's good.
Caller. Oh, but that's Teddy's talking to him. Well, hold on a second. Eric?
Hi, Adam. How's it going?
What's happening, Eric?
I'm going to work.
All right. What's your question or your comment?
What'd you think of the Chuck Liddell, Keith Jardine fight?
Mm-hmm. We're talking UFC. I only heard about it. I didn't actually see the fight. Chuck Liddell obviously was mopping up the division for a couple of years until he ran into Rampage Jackson, and Rampage beat him. And the problem is Rampage beat him the time before, and people want to see a rubber match.
Right.
What they want to see is the Patriots beat the Colts last year. The year before, the Colts beat the Patriots. Now we settle it. Who got 2 out of 3? What they don't want to see is if one guy can go 3-0. So the problem with the rematch with Rampage Jackson is Rampage won the last two. They didn't split them. And the bigger problem is this guy lost to Keith Jardine. And when you lose to a lesser guy on your way back to a rematch that you won 0-2 for, it makes people want to see that even less. So Chuck's got some rebuilding to do. And the thing about athletics, they're guys that are at the top of their game when they're 33 and age 36, it's over. They're over the hill.
Right.
It's really sad, and it's, you wouldn't think, well, what the hell those 3 years in the middle of the beginning part of your life mean? Oh, somehow they mean a lot. You know, Kurt Warner, the quarterback for the old Los Angeles, or I should say St. Louis Rams, was winning Super Bowls and MVP of the league 3-4 years ago. Now he's like, he's an old backup over, and he's still good, but he's considered too old to play.
Yeah.
And he was winning his Super Bowls and getting his league MVP in 02, 01.
Your prime is so short that you should really think about becoming a cellist or something with a longer
Pick
shelf life.
Up
that's
the cello.
That's what my backup plan
beat
is.
Beat the crap out of it, Chuck Liddell. It would be great if you handed Chuck Liddell a cello and he body slammed it and then started to choke it out.
I was just thinking if he tried to beat you with the cello, it would actually do far less damage than actually just Chuck Liddell punching him. That's a weird thing because I'm just getting into the UFC and any version thereof because at first I didn't like it. I was against it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the sweet science. That's
right.
What I like.
Right.
I've been in the ring with pro boxers for fun, and they're magicians. Mm-hmm. They're standing right in front of your face, not 8 inches away, and you punch them in the face, and their face is gone, and you bring your hand back, and there it is again. It's like, I'm a human being. How is that possible that they can do that to me?
Right.
And it's beautiful if done properly. And UFC, if done properly, is not beautiful. There's nothing beautiful. Well, in a way.
Yeah.
But it's not, if you know what I mean. So at first I resented it. But now, A, there's a couple of interesting points about the UFC. One, which would you think, Teresa, is more dangerous to the human body? UFC fighting, where there are basically no rules. You can knee, groin, elbow to the head, just continuously knee to the face on the ground, or boxing, and no gloves, just the pads just so you don't break your own knuckles, or boxing.
I'd say for sure boxing, because you can get head injury.
There you go.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And also, if you
go 12 rounds to a decision,
yes,
that means you've been hit in the head for the last 36 minutes with 1 minute rest in between.
And if you choke out, you know, I'm sure it's not fun, but it also means you're not getting punched in the head.
Well, yeah, usually the ones I watch, there's usually somebody gets knocked out fast because there's no real equipment to protect them.
Right.
And boom, they hit the dirt, or they tap out because they're in an armbar, and no brain damage has been done either way. So technically, I believe the people that say it's safer for you.
Daisy needs motivation.
Oh.
So just to wrap it up, this may be it for Chuck, although he's not an old man, and he has a real puncher's chance because he hits really hard.
No kidding.
He's going to have to win his next three or four matches, and he's going to have to do it soon. Tim?
Yeah.
What's your gripe or question?
Yeah, I was wondering, I have a complaint. I was wondering if you can complain about it better than I could. I live in Las Vegas, and it seems like every time I go to a casino, I'm waving at everything inside the bathroom to get a paper towel.
Yeah.
To get the faucet running, to flush the toilet.
Yeah, I know.
It's ridiculous.
Everything's done on some sort of motion sensor now, and you stand in front of a urinal flapping your hands around like a retarded guy. And you
exactly.
Look like a guy's trying to cut his urine stream off with a karate chop. Chuck
exactly.
Norris is trying to take a leak over there, everybody. I know, because it doesn't go off, and then it's weird. You don't want to leave it for the next guy. But on the other hand, here's the problem then. The problem with the photo eye on everything is either they have to go full switch, retrofit every bathroom in America, or not. Because when I use the bathroom, then I have the nice fresh pot of whiz waiting for me because the last guy got used to the photo cell thing.
Right.
And he thought the thing was going to do itself. You know, when you get into this habit of it's going to do itself, like if your car had a mechanism where the seatbelt went on itself, and then you got into a rental car where it didn't, you'd be driving around without your seatbelt.
Right.
You'd just be sitting there thinking, well, when's that seatbelt going on? Meanwhile, you'd get into an accident. This is what happens. So I find myself doing this. I'll go to like an airport that's an older airport that has the old kind of spring-loaded thing where you hit the plunger and it gives you 3/10 of a second of water for some reason,
five seconds
would be way too much. You'd flood the bathroom.
Sure.
And I find myself waving my hand in front of it, yelling, go, let's go. And then the guy pulls up next to me and he hits the thing and he's like, hey, retard.
Yeah.
Hey, Houdini, what are you doing just flapping your hands at the thing?
I haven't gotten the science of the new one, which is now the infrared paper towel dispenser.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Feels like I'm waving at everything in the bathroom.
Right, but the urinal pretty much works. You get up to it, you use it for its function, you walk away, and it flushes.
Except when you drop a deuce, because you're not getting up yet.
Well, if you're doing that in the urinal, you have special issues.
They need to program in a courtesy flush mechanism into the commode with the thing, yes.
I'm assuming you know this, because I can't know anything about how any mechanism works that you don't know. It's just impossible. You do know there's a little black rubber button right behind you, right?
I do know that some of them have the manual override. It's like some of them have that thing that aircraft has where you can physically crank the landing gear down in an emergency.
I'm sorry. Right. I just think it's so funny. It would have made me suicidal to have known something about even a toilet machine that you didn't know.
Well,
I would have just thought, my Adam. What happened to my Adam?
Well,
that Bonaducci guy knew something about mechanics that Adam Carolla didn't.
I didn't know that they all did or didn't. Like, I feel like some of them you can reach in and do, and others you can't.
It's usually right above the infrared eye, dead center on the silver part. There's just a little tiny black rubber button, and you push it and it flushes.
Do you know how
I know this?
Yeah, how do you know this?
Because I smoke in airport bathrooms, because you can't get back out through security, and you've got to be able to make sure that cigarette's going down the toilet, instead of sitting there looking at you going, I'm not flushing, while you tell this cop I'm not smoking in here.
Ah, interesting.
So I figured them out.
Hey, Jeff?
Yeah?
How say you, my brother?
Hey, how's it going, Adam? I just want to say, first of all, you know, I love you guys' show.
Thank you.
First time calling in. I am a student at the University of Washington, and it's my last quarter. I'm about to graduate here, and I'm looking at jobs available, and really nothing's looking too promising with a four-year degree. I'm currently working in the automotive industry. And
is that code?
Pumps gas? Petroleum movement specialist or whatever it is?
Right.
I work at a tire store.
Uh-huh.
And at this point, I'm wondering why I didn't go to a vocational school and, you know, finish 3-4 years ago making more money doing something I enjoy.
Right. So the question is, or the comment is,
what's the benefit in going to a four-year degree when, you know, it's becoming so standard now that, you know, it's not such
all right,
a big deal.
I hear you. Listen, I don't want to be a snob, but I have said this time and time again to you and to my own wife. If you're curious, you can't stop a person. And if you're not curious, you're not going to teach a person anything.
This is what you woke me up for.
You take curious people. Curious people sit around and just read a cereal box and then go look up niacin just to see what it is. If you take people that aren't curious, they'll watch the news, they'll watch whatever, they'll read whatever, and then when you ask them, how about this or how about that, they'll go, I don't know, I don't remember. And you go, well, don't you want to know? And they'll go, why? I'm not a... And then that's it. If you're not curious, it's a weird thing. I've had the uncomfortable conversation with my wife on multiple occasions, which is, you're not a curious person.
Right.
My wife's not a curious person, and as a matter of fact, there is a gender thing where there's probably less female investigative reporters and private eyes and things like that, and everyone does that thing where they go, yeah, that's because the man is keeping them down, but not true.
No.
If women were more curious than men, there'd be more PIs that were females than men. Women, it's good that my wife's not so curious, because my wife is curious about her kids. My wife wants to nestle and settle with her kids and take care of. You know, when you're curious, you don't want to take care of other people. You want to take care of your own brain. It's like some shark that needs to keep swimming. It's not some rock that wants to sit and gather algae.
Right.
My wife's brain is a rock covered with algae. No, she wants to stay and take care of the kids, whereas I want to go outside and have a stream of information go through my gills. When you're curious, nothing can stop you from learning. You could go to prison for 3 years and come out with a law degree. You'll bury yourself in books. All you need is the Discovery Channel and Google, and you're done.
Right.
Maybe a little National Geographic and some spice, you know, just to keep just to keep the edge off, and you're done. You'll know more than anyone who goes to college if that person is just going through the motions, if they're not curious. So my feeling is, as far as education goes, you need the basics. You need to be able to read. I wish I knew how to do that. And you need to be able to write and spell, punctuation and all that stuff. I wish I knew how to do that. And some simple math.
I will buy you perfect spelling for $85.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's what I need. I need that. I need spelling. I need reading and writing. But geography wouldn't be a bad thing to know. Spelling and reading. Outside of that, you then can use those tools to learn or not.
Well, the curious guy, I believe, and I know this because I personally find this a fascinating subject, because I think curiosity is, the lack of curiosity is death. I forget who it was, and I think you remember, I've said it before, the unexamined life is not worth living. And you take the globe, and I've done this a million times, just spun it and stuck my finger somewhere and stopped it, and then Googled it, because I wanted, because I'm curious.
Yeah, and if you're Danny, and if you're curious, or if you're anyone and you're curious, you're fine. You show me a curious 10-year-old, and I'll go, that guy's going to know plenty, and especially, or that girl's going to know plenty, and especially plenty about what they want to know. Now, as far as the trade school, I went to school with a bunch of guys, and a couple of them went to college, and the rest of us started swinging hammers and digging ditches and whatever else. The 4 years or the 5 years later, when it was time for those guys to graduate, they had no career direction. They had a degree, but they didn't have a job. The other guys who went to work were making $20 an hour because they'd been swinging a hammer for the last 4 or 5 years. I tend to think, especially these days when a 4-year degree is only good for the next journey. It used to be you get your 4-year degree and then you go into whatever your chosen field is. Now you get your 4-year degree so that you can embark on your next educational journey, right, or go to the next whatever. You get a 4-year degree so you can go down to the mailroom of whatever company and then get started in the basement. My feeling is figure out what your passion is. If your passion is law, then you need to go to college. If your passion is being a physician, then you need to go to college. Or if it's being a therapist, or if it involves anything that involves college, if that's your passion, then you must do that so you can pursue your passion. But if your passion is for design, or your passion is for working with your hands, or your passion is with whatever fill in the blank that has nothing to do with school, then go do that. And as far as education, well, all you need is basic cable for that.
You know what? I hate to admit that. I'll just say that I agree. That was going to be a very long version of I agree that you can know everything there is to know if you have basic cable and pay attention.
I would simply like to add about women and curiosity that niacin is a water-soluble vitamin that assists in removing toxins from the body.
And that was off the top of your head.
I was curious.
Curious,
so I looked
Georgette.
It up.
It's also a good idea to take right before you go tanning.
Is that right?
Yep. No, but it's an instant tan the second you take niacin.
Yeah.
If you
take a bunch of it, you'll really turn red. It was a 70s thing. Dr. Drew and I used to always get into this argument where he had his three kids, his triplets, and he would say, man, I got to pay for school. I got to this. I got to that. It's so important that they go to the right school. He never stopped talking about education. I was not educated. But I'm curious, and I learned what I needed to know along the way. And I kept saying, Drew, relax. If the kids are into it, they'll find a way. And if they're not, well, then who wants to just throw a bunch of money down a black hole? And he said, uh-uh. College teaches you how to think and how to learn.
That's true.
And I said, really? And he said, yes, I went to college, and I learned how to learn and also sort of how to be curious. He was taking my curious argument and said, it made me curious, this education, and I thought, I never quite bought it because I was always so curious and never involved with any formal education. You gave me, when I was a kid, you gave me something where I pulled a string and pointed a farmer's arm at a farm animal that made a moo sound, and I wanted to take it apart to find out what was making the moo sound. I was 7.
Right.
That had nothing to do with education.
Sure.
I sort of disagree with Drew on that one. I'm sure college teaches you how to learn, and then the more you learn, possibly the more curious you get. But if you're curious, you're curious.
Yeah, I agree with you. But it's interesting that you would say I sort of agree rather than make your firm stance. But I sort of agree too. I read a book and I committed it to memory, and I read this book 10, 15 times, maybe more. It's called Dictionary of Cultural Literacy, and it was a huge and popular book. It was basically everything you need to know about everything to be able to discuss it in polite company.
Well,
about
I would
every
say
subject in
proof
the world.
Is right here in this room that there's a very imperfect correlation between formal education and success.
Oh, well,
college, if you're curious, it's great. I would recommend it, but it's not necessary.
As a matter of fact, success, education, we're running late for break, so I'll make this 20 seconds and then we'll split. But education, the definition of education is you should learn a little bit about a lot. You should be well-traveled and broad. And the people that make the money are experts in one thing. And they do that one thing really well, and they make a ton of effing money being an expert in that one thing. Society does not monetarily reward people that switch jobs every 18 months or who hold degrees in 13 different subjects. We reward the person that learns about computers when they're 9 and never stops working on computers, and by the time they're 25, they're Bill Gates. That's who we reward monetarily. So in a way, it's actually the opposite. You'd be better off just becoming an underwater welder and just knowing about underwater welding and working on oil derricks and making $200 an hour in the South Sea. That monetarily would be much better than being a school teacher and knowing all the subjects. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Speaking of this topic, we decided to, it could be about education. Can't remember if we tried this one before, but let's try it. I want to talk to your kid, 866-901-ADAM. I feel like I could get through to them. I could reach them. I know we have a lot of single moms out there, or single parents, people that are stressed out, maybe no father figure in the kid's life, or maybe you technically grew up with a father like I did, except for practically the puss wouldn't get off the sofa and put the effing book down and play catch with his son. So it didn't really feel like I had that male figure. I had my football coaches, and they were my male figure growing up. What about you? What about your son? What about your daughter? How about a little father figure, Adam, for you? 866-901-ADAM. You single moms, call up. Let me talk to your kid. What do you want them to do? Better grades? Work harder? Start listening to you? Put them on the phone. I'll talk some sense.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. With a sneak peek at this morning's program, here's our program director, Jack Silver.
Get it on, peeps! Today, from NBC's Las Vegas, Molly Sims! We'll play some clips from another Huell Hauser episode! Okay, time has passed! The Ace Man's gonna talk to some weirdos who are selling crap on Craigslist! Another chance to win Playboy Mansion tickets for our big Halloween show! And from the new series Big Shots, Christopher Titus! Whoa, what a coincidence! Big Shots is what I nicknamed Majesties! And Titus is what I call my honker!
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we decided I should give some advice to the youngins, a lot of single moms out there, just single parents, so we dreamt up a little bit called Adam, Father Figure.
Is your baby daddy not in the picture?
Son? Yeah, Dad? How was your day, pal?
Well, give Adam a call and let him be the father figure.
I wish, I've said this many times, I wish I had me when I was younger.
I wish I had you when I was
younger. Hello?
You've given me some of my best advice.
I wish I had you now.
No, you know what the best advice you've ever given me, and you probably don't even remember it, but I've said it about 1,000 times since you mentioned it. We'll all be dead in 40 years. That is very comforting to me.
It is once in a while when people say to me, aren't you upset, or how come this isn't bothering you, or why aren't you freaked out? I just go, number one, we'll all be dead in 40 years.
That's really good advice.
That's number one. Number two, who cares? We'll all be dead in 40 years.
Right.
That's a nice way to approach life. But I really, you see, one thing I really resent my dad for is never really pulling me aside and saying, look, here's how it goes.
That was tough water.
Here's a piece of information. Here's what you do in any way, shape, or form for anything. My family, I can't tell if they didn't think it was okay to give out advice, like maybe it wasn't their right to intrude on whatever, but most 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 19-year-olds are confused as hell. They just really, not knowing is its own form of anxiety. I could remember being 19 and being out of my, on my own in the real world thinking, I don't know anything. I don't know what my future is. I don't know how to handle money. I don't know how to handle relationships. I don't know how to get a job. I don't know anything. And that's scary.
Right.
You know that feeling you have when you travel and you get separated from the group and you're in some area and you think, I don't know the language. I don't know anybody. I'm not sure if I'm going to offend somebody. I could run across the street and get stopped by a cop, and next thing you know, I'm in jail. Like, that weird sort of insecure, not imminent danger, just I'm not comfortable because I don't know the culture and I don't know my environment. I think a lot of young people have that here in this country. You don't know how to make money. You don't know how to network. You don't know what you're going to be doing 6 months from now or maybe even 6 weeks from now. And it brings on anxiety. I would like to quell that, assuage it. Yes.
Yeah, what have we thought about yesterday?
Yes.
Just you know, I live that way now. That's my fear and anxiety, honest. I think electricity gets to my house by magic.
Right.
Because I've never paid an electricity bill nor seen one.
Mm.
I've always had an accountant since I was a little kid appointed by the court. And then I was homeless, so I didn't need it.
Right.
And then I was very successful in radio very quickly 20 years later and had an accountant.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Some people just aren't, you know, I'm sure my kid is going to take his own life somewhere around his 13th birthday because Papa's given him one.
Too much advice.
A little too much advice, right. But there has to be a balance somewhere. Melanie?
Yeah.
You're a single mother?
Yes, I am.
And you have a son?
Yeah, I have a son, Spencer. He's 12.
Uh-huh. Does that put him in the 6th grade?
Actually, he's in the 7th grade.
7th grade. And how's he doing?
Well, he does really well in school. He gets A's and B's, but he thinks he's going to be a professional football player.
Mm-hmm.
And he rushes on all his work. He never has homework when he comes home because he just always wants the quick answer so he can play video games and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we get into arguments all the time about how he needs to take pride in his work.
Where is Spencer?
He's sitting right next to me.
Oh, can you put him on the phone?
Sure.
Thank you.
Hello?
Spencer?
Yeah?
What position do you play?
Wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. White guy, huh?
Yeah.
That's the end of that. Hey, Spencer?
Yeah?
Are you fast?
Yeah.
Let me explain football to you and why I love it and hate it. You're talking to a guy whose only goal in life was to get out of the valley and play professional football. If you would have asked me when I was Spencer's age, what are you going to be doing for a living? I would have said playing professional football. One of the few things I remember from my childhood is going to a football banquet for the East Valley Trojans where they were giving out trophies at the end of the year. And I think the great USC running back Anthony Davis or one of the greats over there. I think it was Anthony Davis.
Charlie White?
Could have been Charlie White. Could have been OJ. Who the hell knows? Said, how many people here think they're going to play professional football? My hand shot straight up, and so did 20 other kids. And he said, chances are none of you are going to play, so you better start focusing on your studies. I ignored that advice. And the thing about football is you won't stop playing football. Football will stop letting you play football.
Right. That's absolutely true.
It will force you to quit. It doesn't do that when you think you're going to be a professional gambler. That doesn't happen. You just keep losing and losing and losing, but you can enter the next tournament. Football, you get to the next level, and it stops you for you.
Literally.
Professional athletes do that. Guys are too fast. They're too strong. The game's too fast. The game's too strong, and you just can't play at the next level. There's a better than not chance that that's going to happen to you, Spencer, but I'm not going to try to talk you out of that right now. Here's the advice I'm going to give to you, Spencer. You have to do your homework. You have to do your schoolwork. That is for football. You see, if you want to be the next Britney Spears, I'll tell you, go ahead and drop out, or it would be a hard time getting you, convincing you to study because you don't need school. Well, football for you, you have to get through junior high, Then you have to get decent grades so you can play in high school. And once you get to high school, you have to maintain a certain GPA. Spencer?
Yeah?
You know what a GPA is?
Grade point average.
Good man. Oh. See? A lineman wouldn't have known that.
I was going to say gross national product. Almost none of those letters are in there.
You need to have a certain GPA in order to be eligible. And then, unless you're a phenom, in order to go to college, you must have a certain GPA and get certain test scores and all that kind of stuff. So education and football are going to go hand in hand with you, Spencer. So you need to pursue both of them. But here's what I'll say. If you have some pie-in-the-sky dream about being a professional athlete or a professional musician or a professional whatever that you're probably not going to achieve when you're older just because reality is going to set in, and let's face it, how many guys are in the NFL and how many guys thought they were going to be in the right. NFL when they were 12 years old, here's what I want to see out of you, Spencer. Dedication. All right, you want to be a professional football player? Fine. I want you staying after practice and running wind sprints. Fine, I went during the off season. You doing 100 down and outs and some guy from the neighborhood throwing you passes. If you want to be a professional football player.
Do more.
Yes, if you want to be a professional musician, fine. I'm sure it's never going to happen, but I want to hear that guitar coming out of your room for 3 hours a day. A lot of people say, I want to be a fill in the blank, and then you see them home playing video games. You want to be a professional? I don't care how crazy it is. I don't care how low the percentage chance of you actually becoming that. Well, back it up. Show me that. If you show me someone who shows me that, I'll show you someone that when their dream is crushed by a 300-pound guy when they're 19 in college, who takes that same energy and channels it into the next endeavor.
I think that is the most sound advice I've ever heard.
And, wow.
And I think so possibly because I follow it.
You do.
I remember specifically, my wife came out, and I was hitting the punching bag as hard as I could at 3 in the morning. And this is when everybody wanted to fight me in celebrity boxing, and I was making money at it. And she said, what the hell are you doing hitting this bag? Why are you hitting it at 3 in the morning? And I said, because somewhere there's somebody who's not willing to.
Right.
I just went further. I always go further. That's really good advice.
Look, the whole part about being dogged and having a crazy work ethic applies to everything. You can apply it to sports, and then you can apply it to education, and then you can apply it to vocational training, and then you can apply it to starting your own business. You show me a guy who busts his hump out on the football field, working harder and staying longer than everybody, and I'll show you a guy who, when his playing days are over, and they will be soon,
yep.
You will then transfer that into business.
By the way, Spencer is right now thinking, thank God Dad's dead.
Dexter?
Dexter, you can't be helped. My name's Dexter.
Uh-oh. Dexter wants to know what to do after graduating high school. I'm going to say go ahead and spring for a decent cell phone. Let's try it again.
Good start.
Dexter?
Who?
Dexter.
Hey there, Adam.
You're 17?
Yes, sir.
You're graduating high school?
Yeah, I'm a senior right now.
Uh-huh. And what's it look like after high school for you?
Well, I was thinking Marines, actually. Now, I was thinking vocational school before I moved to Nevada, which was about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom got married, so I was kind of had to move here.
Mm-hmm.
But I had an A+ in it. I was going for A+ and Net Plus, which is computers practically,
yes.
And software and hardware.
Mm-hmm.
After the first semester, I moved here, and I just couldn't get into another vocational school. And this year, I was not very motivated to get into it. I slacked off. And I
all right, wait, I have a thought.
This get on your knees, scumbag!
Good timing here. A, bad connection. B, I have a thought. Here's what everyone needs to do. When you graduate high school, you need to either go into, here are your choices. You need to either go into some sort of vocational training, like, hey, I want to weld, or I want to work with computers, or whatever. Male or female, whatever it is, go into it. B, continue educating yourself. I don't know what I want to do. I'm going to go to college, not junior college. That's not college. That's high school with ashtrays. That's where you go to play hacky sack, score weed, and die. Not junior college. That's you BSing yourself because you're only going there because you're not good at educate. You're not good in school, and you're just killing another few years. You can stay home and suck off daddy's teat, as it were, and live for free. No, that's not an option. You can either go to vocational school. You can go to real college, or third option, you can start molding yourself, male or female, and this is what the military's good for. I swear to God, if my son said, look, I don't think I'm cut out for college after high school, and as far as vocational training, I don't know what I want to do, so I don't want to learn to be a mechanic or a welder or computer engineer, but I'll tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to get up at 6 every morning, go to the park and do calisthenics, and then I'm going to run 5 miles, and then I'm going to read 2 books, and then I'm going to mow the lawn. I'd say, fine, just mold yourself. Just discipline yourself. I know I sound like a blowhard here. That's what the military does. You don't know what you want to do, but you got to be hammered into a shape.
Yeah.
You need a backbone. You need discipline. You need to get up at 6 a.m. and go do some pull-ups and then run with army boots on. I would love it, and this would be a better country, if every single kid, college-bound or not, would go through basic training for 1 year before they went on to whatever. Yeah. You get used to working as a team. You get used to getting up at 6 a.m. instead of noon. You get used to exercise every morning. You get used to an old guy who holds his hands behind his back. And by the way, that if you clasp your hands in front of you, you're a puss. If you do it behind you, you're a badass. Mm-hmm. I don't know why putting the hands behind you. The front offers some groin protection. But you do that hand clasp behind your back and do the gentleman. Last Easter Day was yesterday. That's
what
it.
What is your major malfunction?
You will take that experience and then apply it to everything else. So what I would say to a guy like Dexter, no vocational, no college, no problem. Fine, go to the military and just get used to getting your ass busted on starting at 6 a.m. That's all. Fine, my kid doesn't want to do anything. I don't care. You're getting up at 6 a.m. and you're running in place until 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And by the time we're done with this year, you'll be dying to go to college or dying to get a job.
Or dying.
Or just dying because I didn't hydrate you.
There's also the fact that Dexter will have an easier time getting a job if he has being a Marine on his resume.
Mm. And
since he didn't pick anything, by the way, they teach you stuff.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That is part of the deal they cut with it.
Sure.
Why don't we take a five-minute break?
Yeah, we got to take a
five-minute
break.
All right,
break.
We have a lot more of your calls in Adam Carolla, father figure. We have a single mom with a daughter that won't motivate. We got a guy who's got an old dad.
Oh, that's hard.
Won't get
hard.
Off his ass. Yeah. We have a daughter that doesn't respect me, so says Cecilia from Pico Rivera. I'll work a little sense into her next.
Hey everybody, this is Art Alexakis from the band Everclear. And when we're not, you know, talking about how horrible our childhoods were, we like to enjoy the Adam Carolla Show.
Art has us all trumped by his horrible childhood.
I know.
Refreshing to see a nice looking blonde kid who had a horrible childhood.
Isn't it?
Maybe one of the Trumps.
Give me a little hope. Yeah.
One of the Trumps might have him trumped.
Buka Trump. All right. Let's see. Father figure. I'm going to continue dispatching advice. Gina?
Yes.
What's the situation, my dear?
It's kind of the same as Spencer, but with my daughter. And I'm concerned because she's a little bit older. She's almost 17.
Mm hmm.
And just as long as I can remember, she's wanted to be an actress or a model or anything famous
right.
and exciting. Even a BMX, you know, superstar. She's gone through everything, but now she's pretty much settled on this actress slash model.
Yes.
And, but the thing is, she won't take any drama. I don't want to be in theater.
Yeah.
She won't take any dance classes. No gymnastics, nothing.
I know. At least we have to have a new category, because the whole time I was coming up, people would say, I want to be an actor or an actress, when the reality is you want to be famous, because I don't see you doing any plays at your local church. You want to act. No, you don't want to act. You want to act like you're famous. You don't want to do all the work that's involved with that. Gina.
Yes.
She needs to get a little more realistic about this, and what you need to do is explain to her that all these people she sees on TV paid their dues, and they never really talk about it, and you never really see it, and that you think they were just born famous, and it's untrue. other than Bonaducci, who was in SAG before he got his first pube.
But I was in 20 commercials and TV shows before I was in the Partridge Family.
Yes.
And paid my dues again afterwards.
Yes.
So I'm still with you.
Yeah, but now you got your Nicole Richies and your Kim Kardashians and your Paris Hiltons, and they are famous for nothing.
But
I know
what? They're the squeaky wheel, man. We look at them all the time and condemn an entire industry because of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. They're just four chicks. They're not the industry.
Gina, here's what I would say to my girl, and I don't know if you already said it to her, but if in fact she wants to be an actress, then she should treat it like any other craft or any other skill. She needs to take acting classes. Will she not take those?
She is only wanting to take ones that are specific to TV and commercial, and in Sacramento that's really hard to find. And there is a local theater that's really expensive, but I told her I will put you in this theater if you're really serious. I even told her, you know, her grades are great. Why don't you just apply to some kind of a performing arts college? You know, when you get out of school, move to LA, go on auditions and take the classes there. She just thinks she, and when I get really hard with her and I tell her, you know, all of the things that you've said, that it's, you know, just like the NBA, it's going to be really hard. You're going to have to work at it. Nobody just gets there. She tears up. And you can see I'm just crushing her.
Right.
And then I feel like, am I crushing her?
No,
I want to support her, but no. I'm worried she's going to end up in McDonald's just suicidal because she really thought she was going to send her picture somewhere and become a supermodel.
Gina, when a kid is headstrong and won't listen to single mama, and mama's offering all sorts of avenues that she can explore and she's not taking her up on that, then mama's just going to let her let her stew in her own juices for a little bit. There is a certain thing, and it doesn't sound like great advice because it's no advice. Let the kid have 6 months of sitting around the house rotting, doing nothing, and then the kid will motivate. When you try to motivate someone for them, they spend all their extra energy fighting with you. Sometimes you just need to leave them alone. Shut the door. Turn the TV off and leave them alone with their own thoughts. People get miserable real fast, and then they start self-motivating.
Yeah.
Or self-medicating.
Or self-medicating.
This is a 17-year-old girl that wants to be a movie star but won't take acting classes.
Yeah, but isn't show business like football? It tells you when it's done with you. If Gina shows up here, and Gina's daughter shows up here in town, and doors don't open, after a year, she's probably going to want to move home.
Now, that would be up to her. She might want to. That's different from having it closed on you. Show business and the dream thereof will never close on you. If you don't think Paul Newman could go out and get a job right now at 90,
saying your average person who moves to L.A. hoping to make it will find out quickly whether they're going to.
Well, here's the problem. You're both
right.
Both right and you're both wrong. That one of the problems with show business versus sports is sports slams the door shut, says, and then locks it and says you cannot do it. Showbiz, I know guys that are 50-year-old comedians that keep thinking the next break is just around the corner.
Yep.
And when the constant mantra is it's who you know and it's all luck and it's all luck of the draw, well, then you sit around and wait for your lottery ticket to be picked. The reality is it's hard work, it's skill, it's all the things that go into every other profession. It's just once in a while one of the Hilton sisters pops up on Entertainment Tonight and ruins it for everyone else.
And I'd like to apologize on my behalf on that one. I have a tendency.
All right,
but,
let's
can
see.
Can I just
yes.
say this, and it's not as a plug. I mean this dead seriously. My new show, So You Think Your Kid's a Star, or I think it's I Know My Kid's a Star, is about this. You know, there's a bunch of kids, and a bunch of them go home crying, being told by me, you suck, kid.
Right. This ain't reality TV!
Let me save you and your mom hundreds of thousands of dollars of flying back and forth from Florida and going to flying out here and living away from your family for pilot season. You don't have the talent, kid. And mom, you're Mrs. Lohan, and you're going to be out in the bars. I don't trust you. Get off the show.
When does that air, by the way?
Starts in March.
Hey, Joel? Oh, yeah, what channel?
Oh, VH1. But that was, I mean, I know it sounds like a plug, but that's really what the whole show is about. Kids who try harder than other kids.
It's not a plug if it's more than 6 months in advance. Joel?
Sir Adam.
What's up with you, my friend?
We'll be back.
Well, I just want to be like the guy in the future who didn't listen to you as a kid. So everybody else listening can know what the future looks like if they don't listen to Adam.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
And you did listen to me?
I did not listen to you. I cherry-picked when I was listening to Loveline when I was a kid, and now I'm suffering for it.
What's going on?
Well, I'm in junior college, for one.
And what else?
No girlfriend.
Anything else?
And I'm poor.
He's gay! What advice do you wish you would have taken?
I wish I would have listened to Adam, Ricky Rackman, and Dr. Drew back when I was in seventh grade, just as the clear caller.
Oh, you're talking about Headbangers Ball's Ricky Rackman?
Remember him?
Yeah.
Yep. So you're the one.
I do. I think of him every time I pass McKenna VW.
Is that where he works now?
From my Jag on the freeway. I think that's where he was working. I'm sure. I'm sure Jack Silver's feverishly trying to get him on the station as we speak. So, Joel.
Yes.
That's the old Loveline song. Hey, Joel, what are you going to do about yourself now? You're 24. You're in junior college. You're wasting everyone's time. What's the plan?
Well, the plan is now to at least get on my feet and think for myself. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, my father figured he taught me that God was going to fix everything for me. Mm. Well, so far it hasn't fixed Jack.
Yeah. The problem with that is then God helps those who help themselves and so on and so forth. So, Joel?
Yes.
Drop out of junior college.
Okay.
You're not doing anything over there. You're 24. You shouldn't be there. Asian nursing students are the only folks who should be in junior college. As a matter of fact, foreigners are the only people who should be in junior college, because if you were born here and you couldn't cut it in high school, then what a shock you're not cutting it at the next level. It's really like saying, we're getting back to our sports analogy. Here's what junior college is. Here's the concept of junior college. I was a third string long snapper in high school. I rode the pine my entire high school football career. I never got out on the field. I sucked. And the team was 0-10, and I didn't even start one game. I never played a down. But if I can go to college, if I can go to Nebraska, I think I could play for that team. Really? You sucked in high school. What makes you think you're going to go to the next level and start? But this is that. That's what junior college is. You're a horrible effing student. That's why you're not going to real college, but yet you're going to go to junior college and waste more your time, my time, and your parents' time. And I say my time, meaning the taxpayers of this country.
I love you right now.
Get to work.
You know why I love
you
right now?
You're going to junior college because you're soft and lazy, yes.
Because 9 times out of 10, I go home and hear how wonderful you are from a girl that's been listening to you since she was 11 years old. And everything I know about sex, I know from Adam Carolla.
She went
to junior college and hates you right now.
Damn.
I hope she's awake, because then I get to go home and hear, I hate that bastard. I worked so hard to get myself. I worked 3 jobs. You know, it's expensive. That doesn't just blah, 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 blah. So now I probably can get some without wearing the Adam Carolla mask.
Mm. I should take it off so I could get some. All right.
Oh, my God. You should just tell her it's me and you're wearing it. Just get down on your knees and smoke a lot first.
That's all we have time for. We have an outro, Paul Tryon.
Adam Carolla.
Isn't our son swell? Yes, dear. Isn't life swell?
Father figure.
What the hell is that from? I hope they weren't serious. That's from the Breakfast Club? No. Oh, got confused. T.
Yes?
What's coming up in the news?
Bobby Brown thought these would be his last words.
Drugs had nothing to do with it.
And much, much more. We have all of his supposed deathbed confessions.
Also, some precious clips I found on CNN this morning regarding the horrible shooting over in Ohio. We'll do that next with the news on the Adam Carolla Show.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Coming up this morning from NBC's Las Vegas, Molly Sims.
I like you. And the sex was definitely above average.
We'll break down another episode of PBS's Huell Hauser.
It's all about rideshare.
Give you another chance to win tickets to Blotto in the Grotto at the Playboy Mansion. Talk to comedian Christopher Titus.
Shut up! I'm talking to my son!
And scan Craigslist for some of the crap that people are trying to pawn off on you. Call 866-901-ADAM. Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Let's do it, T.
Let's.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Yesterday, a 14-year-old boy named Asa Kuhn went on a shooting spree at his Cleveland, Ohio high school, Success Tech Academy. Kuhn injured four people, two students and two teachers, before taking his own life. Here, Cleveland Mayor Frank Jackson talks to the press.
The shooter, the suspect, is a 14-year-old student from the school. He has committed suicide, is our understanding. We have the families of all of the victims have been notified, and we are currently connecting all the children and parents with people who can help them through this.
A trying day for the kids, and here some of the students at Success Tech respond.
The principal screamed over the intercom, code blue, code blue. And I just freaked out. The teacher told me to stay in the classroom. I'm like, I'm not staying in the classroom. What is a code blue? What is a code blue? And everybody was talking about that shooting, that shooting.
I saw people running. I heard gunshots. And we ran down the stairs outside of the building.
All I see was a boy shooting down the hallway. And I ran.
Code blue sounds like an energy drink, by the way. If I was in school and I heard, like, hey, we got code blue, I'd be like, all right, people, we need to calmly file to the vending machines in the cafeteria. Who's got change for a dollar, people? Let's not panic. Get some of that code blue, 16 ounces of refreshing energy drink. The other thing is, I wouldn't trust Success Tech for the name of my kid's school. Yeah. It's trying a little hard. Who named that? Koreans?
You know what?
It seems like there's a little translation. You know, I once saw a video game called Violence Fight. Mm-hmm. And I'm standing in front of it going, who the F names their video game? And then I went, oh, this is out of Japan.
Right.
And this is a bad translation.
And that happens. It may be an accurate translation.
Right.
You know, I've seen movie titles. They did bits on it on like Jay Leno or something. And they'd show you what the movie was called in another country because they couldn't call it that.
Right.
They're always very funny, but very different. So that might be accurate.
Success Tech sounds like either Koreans named the school in a bad translation or someone is trying to overcompensate for a horrible school.
Well, it's a so-called school of choice. Students have to apply to get in, according to the superintendent's office. And the academy describes itself on its website as small, non-traditional high school that provides a learning environment in which all students believe in their ability to succeed. I thought this was interesting. The school was founded in part with a grant from Bill and Melinda Gates.
Wow.
That's interesting.
I heard some of the kids interview, though. It didn't sound like doing a whole lot of educating over there.
I'm with you on the name there. It's like overcompensating, like calling your sports car Big Penis.
Right.
You kind of know that guy might be overcompensating.
Yeah, that company's pushing a little too hard. Well, I heard about this tragedy, as many of you did early this morning watching CNN, and they interviewed some of the guy's neighbors. It's very important that they talk to folks that live down the street from these guys so they can either say the guy was reclusive and didn't talk much or the nicest guy in the world and they were shocked. That's the only story you ever get. Let's listen to the two geniuses who lived across the street from this young lad.
This morning, we're also hearing from neighbors of the young gunman. They were clearly stunned, but didn't seem overly surprised that the 14-year-old snapped.
He's a good person. I don't know why he did what he did. Couldn't tell you. Pushed too far, that's all I could think of. You get pushed and pushed and pushed, and sometimes you go over the edge.
Joe, why'd he do this?
I don't know. I ain't justifying nothing. I ain't saying he did the right thing. But I'm saying he got pushed for a long time and asking people to help, 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 and nobody helped. You know?
Who'd he ask for help?
I don't know. I'm sitting here. I ain't saying that. I'm just saying I know him as a person.
What about the guns, Joe? Do you know where he got the guns?
That's what I just said to him. I would like to know where the hell them guns come from because that boy should have never had access to any.
Okay, we don't need to talk to experts who are experts in nothing.
Right.
We don't need to go to the man on the street and go, you knew this kid when he knew, I don't know nothing. When you start with, I don't know nothing, or I don't know where, or when you say, I don't know, 126 times in a 19-second interview, perhaps that one should just go ahead and fall on the floor of the editing bay.
Yeah, if you start with, I don't know, why don't you move along right then if you're the reporter?
Brian, let me hear that last. See if we can hear that last guy one more time. And you guys tell me, when you're sitting around watching the news and you're trying to get more details on a very tragic story, tell me what you learned from this exchange.
He's a good person. I don't know why he did what he did. Couldn't tell you.
Doesn't know. Couldn't tell you.
Far, that's all
can't
I could
tell
think
you.
Of.
Done.
You get pushed and pushed and pushed, and sometimes you go over the edge.
Joe, why'd he do this?
I don't know. I ain't justifying nothing. I ain't saying he did the right thing. But I'm saying he got pushed for a long time and asking people to help, 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 and nobody helped. You know?
Who'd he ask for help?
I don't know. I'm sitting here. I ain't saying that. I'm just saying I know him as a person.
What about the guns, Joe? Do you know where he got the guns?
That's what I can say to him. I would like to know where the hell them guns come from, because that boy should have never had access to anything.
We'd all like to know everything. You know nothing, which is fine. Don't show us talking to a guy who knows nothing about anything.
Did you get the vibe at all that maybe that first guy really didn't even know him?
I don't know. No, you don't know.
But, I mean, you get pushed and pushed and pushed, but he didn't really know him. I'm thinking that guy's describing his own life. He's saying, this is what could have happened. You get pushed and you push and you get pushed over the edge. But I don't think he knows that about the killer.
It was a little cathartic.
Yeah, yes. That's what I thought.
I would have liked to keep the questions going. What's your first name? So I don't know. I don't know nothing. I don't know anything. And where were you born? You know what? I say, I don't know. I don't know. In your mom's maid? No, I don't. And the sky? Is it above you or below you? I don't know nothing. All right. Are there any more folks who know nothing we can hear from?
Well, what he lacked in information or details, he made up for in enthusiasm.
He was an animated young man.
Here's what we do know about Kuhn. Mm-hmm. He and another student were suspended Monday after they apparently got in a fight outside of the school. Investigators have reason to believe that some victims were specifically targeted by Kuhn after his suspension. So it looks as though he went after particular teachers and or students. And he had a previous arrest last year for domestic violence. Mm-hmm. Something in his house. It's not clear what. I believe he has a brother who was in some trouble, had a long list of priors.
He has an 18-year-old brother who allegedly took a few shots from his front porch at some people that are out front of his house. Now, look, can't we have the effing parents sterilized? And at what point are they held accountable? How many times do I have to say this? I'm tired of all you pussies with the slippery slope business. You crap out some kids, and then you mold them into monsters, and then they show up at school and shoot my kids, and I want the monster molders held responsible. You know, they all marched on Frankenstein's castle. They didn't go to the monster's guest bedroom. They went to Dr. Frankenstein's castle. They took Dr. Frankenstein down because he created a monster and then he unleashed it on society. Look, Charles Manson is
alive.
Charles Manson's rotting in prison. Why? Because he killed somebody?
No.
Because he picked up a knife and stabbed somebody? No.
No.
He got some people together, talked them into it, and then sat at home in his crappy ranch and waited for Tex to come home with a little blood on him and fill him in on the details. We understand it's a society. It's like, how many Jews did Hitler personally choke out? Zero. How many people did Manson lay his hands on? Zero. They created the monsters that went out and did their bidding. What is the effing difference between you physically abusing or sexually abusing or whatever abusing your kid in whatever horrible environment you're in and your 14-year-old bringing a gun, possibly your gun, to school and shooting it up in Hitler and Manson? What's the difference between you creating this and then unleashing it or you talking these folks into it? At least Manson was speaking to adults. Technically, he had all the folks who did all the killing were 18 plus. They were young, they were stupid, they were impressionable, they were naive, but he wasn't their dad. He didn't indoctrinate them into this. They showed up, he gathered them up as adults. In a way, there's a better argument against the parents that create this than there is against a guy like Manson. So we can lock Manson up. He never picked a knife up. He never stabbed Tate or LaBianca. What about these parents? Thank you. The more
First
you know.
All, in the words of the great Teresa Strasser, Hitler was a child once. And also,
huge defender.
I believe that the only crime that Manson actually committed, I mean, he got convicted of all sorts of conspiracy and stuff like that, but all he really did was a B&E. He broke into the LaBianca house and tied them up.
Hitler was a baby. Manson?
I believe he was there.
He wasn't there.
He was not there at that one either?
Did not go into the house. Okay. He needs a new attorney, really. Look at OJ.
Yeah,
I'm laughing his ass off. Look, I'm no fan of Charlie Manson, but
He was a baby.
We can hop him and Hitler.
An adorable, innocent baby before he was molded to be a monster.
We can look it up, Bald Brian, but I do believe that Manson was not present.
I think you need to look it up.
Either one. I mean, he's a guy who's was sentenced to death, and he was not present at either one of the Tate or LaBianca murders. Tex Watkins tied up the LaBiancas and had Squeaky Fron or one of the other girls do
carve
the killing.
War
yes.
In their stomachs.
Right.
Bobby Brown, also a parent.
And was also a child once.
Yesterday was also just an innocent baby. Yesterday, word came down that Bobby Brown had suffered a mild heart attack Tuesday night. Bobby is only 38. He had his girlfriend take him to the hospital after experiencing tightening in the chest and tingling in the arm. Doctors reportedly determined that he had indeed suffered a mild heart attack, probably brought on by, quote, stress and diet. Last night, however, Bobby himself released a statement saying he didn't have a heart attack. But here's the thing. When Bobby Brown arrived at the hospital, he videotaped messages to his loved ones in case he didn't make it. And he says right into the camera that he had a heart attack. Now, here is some audio from his last words that he thought may be his last words. He talks to many people in his life. And here he is talking to his current girlfriend. Her name is Alicia, and he also talks to his ex, Whitney Houston. You can't hear it, but he gives her the finger.
Any secrets you want to tell?
Yeah, man. I'm in love with you, Alicia. Whitney. No secrets. Drugs had nothing to do with it. I've been clean for 2.5 years, so don't worry about it. I still drink a little alcohol every now and then, though. That's basically it.
Basically.
And, man, make sure my babies get this, man.
The key word there is base.
Basically it.
Because I will tell you, there is no way in the world that I could go back to drinking alcohol and not take drugs.
I've had this conversation sitting next to Drew for 1,000 years. There's no such thing as, I'm sober, I don't do any coke anymore, but I still enjoy a little libation on the weekends. Yeah. You're either sober or you're not. And by the way, you don't do that basically. You don't qualify with, I do a little drinking. It's let's get the order here. I've been sober for 2.5. I haven't done drugs for 2.5 years. Next statement, I do a little boozing. Next statement, that's basically it.
Right. Although I think you left out the, except prescription.
And it's,
I don't take drugs anymore.
Right.
Except prescription. But they're leaving out the fact that they're not their prescription.
Yeah. Right.
I take Danny's prescription,
right.
Vicodin.
Yeah. The second you take that out of my hand, you are now taking illegal drugs.
Yeah.
They're only legal to me, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, it's a prescription for rhinos at the zoo, but I take it.
Yeah. Rhinos named Bonaducci, though. They're mine.
Yeah, you don't
drink.
At age in your mid-30s, diet and stress don't usually take the ticker down.
Right.
I guess it happens from time to time, but
not in that case.
Doesn't sound too good. I will leave you with this. Maxim magazine, you know, they're always putting out lists of their sexiest women.
Mm-hmm.
They've put together a list of the 5 unsexiest women alive.
Big fat lesbian loud Rosie.
Wow.
Did not make it.
No.
No.
Ooh, wow.
These got to be some ugly chicks, man, if Rosie didn't make the list.
Well, they went, you know, they zigged when I thought they would zag in some cases.
Mm.
Number 5 of the unsexiest women alive, Britney Spears.
Okay, I see which way they're going. Although I might still go in a natural, I'm going to go with a Martha Stewart.
Here's what they can't do. They can't just pick ugly chicks.
Right, that's
because
no,
that would be mean. You have to pick chicks that were formerly hot or hot chicks that have a potty mouth or chain smoke or
that
something
have
like that.
Turned you off. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Number 4, Madonna.
Right. Here's the whole thing. Here, let me explain something about the sort of politically incorrect, semi or politically correct, retarded world we're living in. All 5 chicks on this most whatever list.
Yeah.
You,
unsexiest.
You would hump 10 times till Tuesday compared to anyone on The View right now.
I would agree.
Or Rosie. I'll add her as well. Let's see if that holds true. I've not seen the list.
Does. So far, Madonna at 5. I mean, Britney Spears at 5. Madonna at 4.
Well, Joy Behar nips her out. But other than that, yes.
At number 3 from Grey's Anatomy, Sandra Oh.
Mm. Mm.
She, I find her very attractive.
Now, by the
very
way,
attractive.
Yeah, like, oh, man, is she ugly.
She is beautiful.
That's how she got her name. I, no, she's not.
Yes,
she
I think all round eyes have at some point had a thing particularly for Asian women.
No!
There was a point in my life I did not date, for about 3 years, I didn't date anybody that wasn't an Asian girl. I always dated Asian girls. I'm married. My first wife was Asian. And I think it's a thing that you go through for a little while, and then you just get over it and move back on. But I find her a little bit Picasso-ish.
Yes.
Oh, in Sideways, when she kicks the ass out of that guy with
you're
the motorcycle
You're so ugly
helmet?
You can be a modern art
we care about what you look like, not what you act like.
All right,
yeah, when she
enough.
Backs the guy with the helmet, kind of sexy move.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
But the face is...
No.
Number two...
It's a butterface.
Yeah.
Number two, an excellent musician... Amy Winehouse. Second unsexiest woman alive?
Yeah, she's like got track marks and she's throwing up everywhere.
Danny?
I can't picture
her. Oh, now that's Amy Winehouse for number two, and now number one.
Oh,
we
I
have to
you
guess.
Saying Amy Railsback.
No, I thought you might like Amy Winehouse. She's a little dirty. I think.
I like a little dirty.
You know what would be ballsy if they just named an entire group, like North American Indian women?
No,
that would be bold.
This woman
awesome.
Takes a lot of crap for her look, and I do not get it. According to Maxim, the unsexiest woman alive, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Totally an undeserved title for just a random ugly chick.
Here's the thing about Sarah Jessica Parker. One day, I'm going to have a symposium, and I'm going to invite all women. And I'm going to have all women there.
How are you going to lure us to your symposium?
I'm going to put a big sign that says free shoes in front of the Coliseum. And I'm going to have a big ledger behind me. And on one side of it is going to be the chicks that we think are hot, meaning men, because I speak for all of us. And then the ones you guys have been trying to convince us for the last 20 years are hot.
Right.
I'm going to put it to bed, finally. We are not into Sarah Jessica Parker. She is has a nice body.
How mean do we want to be?
Little bit of a rough face. The weird frizzy hair bumps us. She looks much better when she straightens it out. We don't care about her. She has. I'm not fat. I got nice rack on me and a decent ass, but. There are thousands of people who are more attractive than she is, and we're interested in them. The one I feel like we could all sort of agree on is like your Charlize Theron. You guys seem to like her, and we seem to like her. That seems to be the top of the pyramid, the one that brings us together. But there's a long list of women that you want us to be attracted to, and we're not into them, and she is at the tip of that spear for me.
You know what's cool for me is that long list of women I think are truly sexy work at Denny's and stuff. Mm-hmm. You can just go get them. They actually exist and walk all around. This is Southern California. We have movie star wannabes breeding.
Yeah.
A second generation of beautiful people.
I wholeheartedly agree. Molly Sims is one of those people that the guys would like to get with.
She's ladies in.
Don't make much of an argument for her. Also, she does a mean PSA.
Oh, I love that
about
PSA.
What it's like to be good-looking inside. We'll get to that. So Molly Sims from... Las Vegas, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser from NBC's Las Vegas.
I like you. And the sex was definitely above average. But between a reckless deficiency and my father freaking out about me dating someone who works for him, it just seems sort of pointless. Don't be bummed out. We can still be friends.
Aw, man. Molly Sims on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Molly.
How are you, Adam?
I'm doing well. I know you have a cold.
I have a cold. I have a little bit of a sinus infection.
It's nice when perfect people get sick on occasion.
I didn't think that happened.
It's nice.
Does that mean she has mucus inside her body? That can't be right.
I'm not gonna. I hate to burst your bubble, all you boys out there. All the things that you think that women that look like Molly don't do, they totally do.
They totally do.
They do. Of course they do.
It's just
otherwise
nice.
They get huge.
It is. It is. It is nice that people that appear to have everything going for them have a bad day on occasion.
Everybody has a bad day.
Yes. But once in a while, Dr. Drew would get sick and I would laugh my ass off. And he always would get angry at me. Why I'm miserable? Why are you laughing? And I'd say, you're a doctor and you're sick. It's funny. It's like when the fire chief's house burns down. It's hilarious. Ironic. It's hilarious.
God, I haven't seen Dr. Drew in ages.
Screw him.
It's all about Adam now.
It's all about me
Adam.
Now.
Adam was on my show.
That's right.
Actually, he did a guest appearance, like about, I don't know, 7, 8
How was
ago.
He on the set?
Fabulous. The girls, they flocked. Flocked.
I wish they did something that sounded like flocked.
Because, you know, he has such a distinctive voice.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's the pipes that get the chicks. Absolutely.
I sound like I have a head cold every day of the year. God bless me. Yes, I had a fun time working over on Las Vegas, and I'll say this about Las Vegas. Really cool show.
Yeah.
And not only a good show, but amazingly stylistically shot. If you watch Las Vegas, you'll see that it looks like a really... And I don't know who has the time or money to do this, but it's shot like a really cool movie is shot, the way the camera angles are and the tricks and the things they do.
Well, we do this one thing, because we were trying to explain to Adam. It's called a whoosh.
Right.
And so you, like, you'll be in the middle of, like, talking, and then you just have to freeze, and so everybody freezes, and then the camera slowly goes by you, and then you unfreeze, and it and but they do it where they speed it up, so it's kind of cool.
It was weird. Yeah, I got shushed during the whoosh. I tried to talk, and they said you got to stop flapping your gums for the whoosh.
And then you try to push.
James Caan was pushing for the shush during the whoosh. That's right.
Wow.
It is weird.
Were you looking at Molly's tush?
I was. Yes.
Was, totally. I caught it.
Was interesting. You're probably over it, but it was pretty exciting to be sitting in a transport van with James Caan while he was talking about nothing. You're, again, probably over it, but for those of us who grew up watching all the movies and The Godfather and all that kind of stuff, it is kind of surreal sitting next to the guy.
I just actually saw him yesterday because I was laying in bed, but I saw him on Bottle Rocket. Remember Bottle Rocket?
Yeah. Yeah. The Owen Brothers?
Yeah.
He was in that.
He was in that. I forgot. Mr. Henry.
I forgot about that.
We love Jimmy.
So, Molly, what's next for you, or what are we talking about today? Because, I mean, we know about Vegas, Four Seasons, Friday nights, 10 o'clock.
We're talking about something I'm going to appreciate a great deal.
If you want to get a great drink. It's called idrinkwell.com.
Yeah.
You know Zagat's?
Yeah, of
the
course.
The little burgundy bottle that you
tells
you where to go and what to do. They've teamed up with Diageo to create idrinkwell, and basically you go on, if you're in any city, like if you're in L.A., you punch in Los Angeles, and it you can get like the best drinks and the best drink service, so it's all rated. So if you want to find a great bar, if you want to eat, or you want to do the combo, like it's pretty cool.
So it's a Zagat's guide for booze, basically.
Yeah, so if I wanted to find
a Zagat's guide for booze.
But what I mean is you want to get a good steak, you go to Zagat's and you find out what city you're in and where you can get a good steak.
Well, it's like the hippest, the coolest, or like if you want like to go with your family, you're like you're not going to go where there's like a huge hopping bar scene because it's all rated.
And right.
It's Zagat rated, but it's all like consumer rated as well. So, like, if you want to go out with your guys, you're not. It lets you know where to go and what to do and what's the best.
I used to have a very, aside from when it just turned into that's all I did was drink. I had very specific drinking places. For a while, I drank next to pools at hotels. That's where I would go to really fancy hotels. Unfortunately, the drinks were very expensive, and I'd sit in one of their chairs by their pools. And people at the Mondrian Chicks in sarongs would come out and bring me drinks. That's the kind of thing. Like, here's my mood as well as my thirst.
Yeah, but if you're out of town, if you're not in L.A.,
right.
And you're like, I want to go somewhere cool, like, Mondrian, they're still going to be like, it's cool.
Yeah, right. But what if it's January in Buffalo and I still want the chicken in a sarong? Can I get that in that Zagat book?
IDrinkWell.com?
I want to know, Molly, what's your drink?
I like a margarita.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Cuervo.
Rocks or blended?
On the rocks. No salt.
No salt.
I like the salt in the margarita.
Don't like the salt at all.
We could overcome that hurdle, baby.
I don't like the margarita mix.
The salt makes you bloated.
Uh-oh.
Ah, I see.
God, for a hot chick, you admit to a lot of stuff.
I know. But it makes, like, you know, like you swell.
As a model, And let's talk about modeling. Where did it all begin for you? How did you get started? I mean, we all know about the House of Style and the Sports Illustrated, but where did it all begin?
I went to Vanderbilt University. I wanted to be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And my junior year, I had gone up to Washington because I thought I wanted to go into political law. And I did an internship, and I came back, and I was like, this is totally not for me. And I still wanted to do law, but I was going abroad to study at the London School of Economics, and then I was asked to take some pictures, and those pictures got sent to New York. And
you were how old at this time?
Well, I was 22, but they pushed me back 2 years because I was so late starting. So, I mean, I was 22, but no one knew. I was
you're
20.
I got to say this. Take this in spirit in which it's intended. You could have never been a lawyer. You're too hot. And super, you can be a really good-looking guy and be like a doctor or a dentist or a lawyer, and it's not that distracting, but a super hot chick gets one of two reactions. You come in and you go, all right, I'll be your legal counsel, and I'll be like, cool, where's your ghetto blaster? Isn't there a big black guy? Like, don't have to, I only have $40 on me. All right, well, anyway, take your clothes off. This is going to be awesome. Shouldn't you be wearing like a powdered wig or something?
I'm a wicked debater, though.
That's
I believe that.
I can debate.
That's number one reason
why.
Number two, people would be too distracted by your beauty. You'd be talking to your client. You'd be going, these are very serious allegations. You could spend many years in prison. The guy'd be like, you smell good.
You got real pretty pores.
Well, you know,
I only got 22 years.
There's a double-edged sword here. Of course, it could be distracting, but also I know a waitress friend of mine who wears purposely way low-cut stuff, and when she turns, there's a bunch of guys at her table, she leans way forward and says, what would you like, gentlemen? And her tips double.
Uh-huh.
Now, she's got a jury with seven guys.
Mm.
I think her odds just went up.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Do you see this photo of my client with the knife in his hand and the blood dripping off it?
12 tumescent men.
I find it hot. Don't you guys?
Yes.
Molly, do you have the traditional model story where you were gangly and awkward in high school and boys didn't like you?
I mean, I definitely had like the tall girl syndrome.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was my height that in eighth grade.
But you had a date to the prom and everything, right?
I did. But you know what? It's weird. I didn't date a lot in high school. I don't know why.
How tall in eighth grade?
I wish you weren't a liar.
5'9" and a half.
That is pretty tall.
Wow.
For 13.
Yes.
Tall. I mean,
I actually have short girl syndrome. I'm actually,
like it was
I'm
a little
short.
Awkward.
Right.
And so you forget, no more law school. You're going to pursue modeling.
Well, I go to London.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only going to do a semester and then two semesters, three semesters. So I ended up living in London, Paris, mainly were like my bases for almost 6 years.
Modeling. And then Sports Illustrated comes a knocking.
I came back. I was on the cover of French Vogue in 99 or 2000. And so I came back to America because at that time, in order to go away and get tear sheets, because a lot of people don't, like if you're an Elle or Vogue, you only get like $90 a day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really difficult to make money and to live like in America. Like it used to be, it's a little bit easier now. So, cause there's so many more magazines in Europe. So you'll get a great book and then you'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up getting the cover of French Vogue and a couple of other great things.
So you
I
get
came
that
back.
For your resume, for your book,
basically.
And then you bring your book back to the United States and you start making some money.
And then I got Sports Illustrated.
And you wore a $30 million bikini in Sports Illustrated? That's what it says here.
It's worth 40 now, which is kind of weird. Usually that kind of thing would go down in price.
That was just a bikini with a bunch of diamonds stuck to it, right?
It was the smallest thing because when we got there, I was like, there's no way. I mean, and they were actually supposed to like add to it a little more, but
was it just rolled in diamonds? Was that the deal?
Well, it was like one massive diamond like on the bikini. And
right.
Then it was like supposed to be like, you know, they'll etch out the heart, like, digitally.
Right.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah, look, I have a long beef. Every time...
I have a long beef, too.
Every...
I didn't mean to.
Every time I turn on the news, it's, hey, there's a $15,000 Sunday at a hotel. It's like, $15,000 Sunday? How big is that bowl? And how big is the spoon? Oh, it's regular. It just has a diamond dropped into it. Or it's a meal, or it's a bra, or it's a whatever. You can't stick a $30 million stone to something and then make that a $30 million worth of... You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got a coffee mug here. It's worth $3. Actually, there are pictures of my kids on, so it's only worth $2. If I drop that thing into it, it wouldn't be a $30 million coffee mug. It'd be a $3 coffee mug with a diamond floating
in it.
And
the bathing suit actually toured around America.
Really? Yeah. Without you in it, though?
Without me.
Oh, who the hell wants to see that?
Me.
You know what I just found very inspiring? You started modeling at 22, which is like, you know, old age for a model. And then you went something like 6 years before doing Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
So you were later in life.
I did Sports Illustrated the first time, I think, in 2000. And then at that time, Rebecca Romijn was ending House of Style. Mm-hmm. So I ended up auditioning, and that took like about 6 months.
Now, how cool was that? So it was like Cindy Crawford, Rebecca Romijn, and then Molly Sims?
Nice.
And I did. I was with MTV for 3 years. They were amazing.
Really? Except for the pay part, right?
Yeah. Pay you absolutely nothing. I've never worked so hard in my life, 17 hours a day for nothing.
I know,
but
still,
at the same time, the guys there, Cyril Neck and George McTeague and Tony DeBerry, like, they're amazing. They gave me the best opportunity.
It's the most amazing non-paying job you'll ever have.
I would have done it for a dollar, because you can't pay for that.
Yeah.
Well, that's the argument, yeah, because I was on MTV, too, and they did that, hey, man, you should be paying us. Like, that's interesting. I'll try to use that next time I use a prostitute. Hey, man, come on now. I'm burning all the calories here, sweetie pea. You should be... Yeah, you could use that. You should be paying me for almost any relationship, except for that's not how it works.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask Molly, I've read that you got out of a 6-year relationship recently.
Oh, no. Well, that was a while ago.
Are you still single?
I'm kind of...
Seeing somebody, but you don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
You don't want to jinx it.
You know what? I never understood that.
No,
I don't care.
Never understood it.
Well,
you want your personal life flashed everywhere over everything?
Hey, Adam. She just asked me the straight face if I want my personal life splattered
all
over.
Wrong question to the wrong guy.
Yeah. I know, but I'm saying, doesn't it get old after a while?
She just keeps going down.
This is Danny, you know, like, Bonaducci.
I know.
Like, a lot,
I grew up with Danny.
A lot of folks wish they had a doppelganger, a second one of them, so they could go do the crappy jobs and chores they don't want to do. Danny wishes there was a second Danny so two of them could walk down the red carpet arm in arm together, fielding questions from the right and left side.
Around the red carpet,
yes.
Molly. He walks down,
Molly,
and then he goes
please.
Back.
Molly, please. This must mean you're dating somebody that we've heard of, though, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Who?
Not a civilian.
A model?
An actor?
No.
Maybe an actor. Yes.
Smart. Why not?
Smart.
You know what?
Smart to date somebody exactly in your field with exactly all your problems.
It'll last forever. It always does.
Always.
But if I may offer you this advice, because you're so bright and beautiful, and it's like the trifecta, although I only named two of them.
Bifecta.
It's the bifecta.
Yeah.
That sounds like it's crawling on you. It's the bifecta so far. When you're seeing someone and you think, you should know if you're seeing someone. They're right in front of you and you're either seeing them or you're not. So you should either just say no or none of your business.
Well, she didn't know whether she wanted to discuss it.
Well, yeah.
Have you made a decision on that?
You don't want to be rude.
You don't.
I don't want to be rude.
Right.
She just told me I don't want to be rude.
But I understand it. It's somebody who we may know, but you don't feel like bringing them up because then there's all the speculation and then the pressure. Now you guys should succeed, right?
As good as they are in the press to you is the meanest. I mean, they can be so mean, you know?
So,
who's mean to you? I mean, has anybody ever written anything horrible about you that hurt your feelings?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, you have people, you know, who will write stuff that's totally, you know, the other day in Page Six, they wrote that I was a home wrecker.
What?
Yeah, I mean, and I went to an event and hosted this Cartier event, and, you know, they like, do you guys stop playing that music?
I'll tell you what we could play. We could play her PSA instead. This is my favorite, and then you could tell me how Josh Duhamel, because of Transformers, is now too good for the show. That'll be our next discussion.
It's funny, but the way people look at you has a lot to do with the way you look at yourself. Be proud of who you are, inside and out.
God, that sounded cheesy.
Yeah, what are they even talking about? You're too good looking. Of course you're going to feel good about yourself.
No, people do write stuff, though. I mean,
they write bad things about you?
Well, they just, I mean, if there's
yeah,
like...
I just looked up this Page Six thing.
Uh-oh.
You see? Isn't that sad?
House of Crap?
She's been dating somebody for just over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Sources close to the couple say Sims and guy I won't name because she doesn't want me to, who's 24.
No, this is...
But wait a minute. You can mention him if he's on page six, right?
But Molly just asked me not to.
Be polite if our guest asks us not to.
Oh,
come on, Adam. I've known you for 10 years.
Okay.
But he's 24.
We'll do it soon as she leaves.
Yeah.
But...
Page six saying they're struggling because of the 9-year age difference and because Sims is clingy.
That would be,
oh, baby.
So clingy.
I don't care for that.
Oh, you be my barnacle.
How
I'll be your ship hull, baby.
Who wouldn't want to be clung to by Molly Sims?
Oh, I'd like her just to, I'd open my mouth wide and crawl inside and live inside of me. And people would be like, where's mom? Be like, and I'd pat my belly. Clingy.
An Adam Carolla wetsuit, really. She'd just wear you.
Yes. Who cares about clingy?
Are you ready to get married soon? Is that the idea?
I mean, eventually.
Biological clock? Mm.
It's getting there.
You thinking about kids?
I'm playing pregnant on the show, so that kind of
messes up your head. Wait, but they said 24 and 7-year age difference? Is that what they said?
Uh-huh.
So that makes you all 31 years old?
She's 33.
No, I'm 34.
Here's
34.
Now I'm 34.
So, by the way, these days biological clocks tick a lot longer. That Energizer bunny, they used to die, by the way, if you were pregnant.
Molly,
they shoot the bunny and the bunny would die. You've got another 6 years with almost total safety, which that wasn't the case before.
But here's,
and more with today's science.
Here's the problem with dating the newbies. When your biological clock is ticking and you're ready to go a couple years from now and you're 35, 36, this kid's 26, 27, and he ain't ready, and he's in the business. That's the problem. You need a rich civilian, restaurateur, architect. You know what I mean?
What do you consider rich?
Well, just a guy who's successful in business, which kind of makes you a celebrity. At least you have the celebrity paycheck.
You need someone who's confident. It's not really about the money.
No, because
you need someone who's like...
Early 40s, successful.
Not early 40s.
But if you're just saying you need somebody who's, say, over $1 million who's not 40s. In show business, I just want to quit my job and ask her out. That's all. I was just trying to get specifics.
Molly's boyfriend is very cute and boyishly so.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
All right, hold on. Now I got to know.
Sims is clingy.
Hold on. Teresa, talk for a second.
Okay.
Sims is clingy.
Wait, Adam, stop
Sims
it.
Sims is clingy.
I'm just looking.
That's him. He's boyishly charming.
Charming.
Oh, it was nice looking.
I don't recognize his name. Should I recognize
David
his name?
He just gave me like such a look.
No, I know his ex-girlfriend.
Do you know his name?
I did not recognize
his ex-girlfriend.
So here's the thing I will tell.
He works a lot.
I will tell our anxious listeners. You want to hear the guy's name.
Yeah, it won't ring a bell.
It won't ring a bell.
Why do you care?
He looks familiar. Well, why do you care? Because we brought it up. Molly's so beautiful.
Yeah, want to know who's dating.
When it breaks down, all the guy really cares about is, and I don't mean to be, as a matter of fact, I'm taking your side on this issue. All we really care about is that she's having sex and it's not with us. So I don't really care anymore about that guy. Except to hate him.
Well, Molly, I'm sorry about your biological clock.
I took your side.
Just shut it.
That's what it sounds like with Bonaducci's on your side.
But your biological clock is just fine.
Just kicking into mountain time. Drink Well is the name of the endeavor, the project. iDrinkWell.com is where you go. It's Zagat's, but it's for the folks that like a libation. Molly, we'll be monitoring you, checking on your progress.
An actual anklet that we're going to make you wear so we can monitor you.
Las Vegas, 4th season, NBC, Friday.
Fifth season.
Jeez. That was a shocker. Something on the card is wrong. 5th season, NBC, Friday nights, 10 o'clock. It has to be a good show. I was on it.
That's right. And Molly Sims.
Great to see you.
Yes, thanks,
guys. More charming and more beautiful in person than you could imagine.
I would concur. We'll take a quick break. Huell Hauser, someone who's more charming and more beautiful in person, will break down his game film next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. It's time to break down the game film from another episode of PBS's Huell Hauser. This time, Huell's at UCLA to check out the rideshare program.
Wait a minute. You give a 50% off pass for people who come to work on the bus?
Yes, we do.
Good times on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, before I launch in on Huell, I was sitting in traffic on Saturday, saying to my wife, there's no accidents. It's just Saturday is another work day here in Southern California, in Los Angeles.
This is great.
And the freeways are just packed. And if you want to know anything about politicians, here's all you need to know. In Southern California, this whole traffic thing, it didn't sneak up on us somewhere earlier this year.
Right.
I've lived here my whole life. It's been a topic of conversation since the 60s and early 70s, and we've done next to nothing to alleviate it. Every once in a while, somebody talks about expanding this or adding a center rail to that, but it never really ends up happening. And then eventually, we do something that really adds up to nothing, even though it costs a ton of money. There should be a revolt. People should be taking to the effing streets, not in their cars, because you can't get anywhere in your car in Southern California. You'd have to take to your feet and take to the streets and just burn down the mayor's office or burn down City Hall, because it is criminal how we treat this. And I could get this effing city moving 20% faster for no money, and we put in 1,000 calls to the traffic department so I could air my grievances with them over the air, and no takers by the pussies over there. It drives me insane.
So we've accomplished our mission.
Would you use the rideshare program?
Well, I'll tell you.
He's got a moral dilemma here, you know. He has something on his tongue that he wants to say, but you're right there.
It's hard.
I'm very angry, and as I've said, the number one thing we could do is alert people to the fact that it's legal to turn right on a red.
Right.
It all starts backing up. I get behind somebody every day. And listen, pussies who don't honk, your job as the pussy that doesn't honk is to grow a set. Your job is to be man enough to honk at your brethren. That's the pussy in front of you who's not turning right. Now, the guy who's not turning right, he can't be helped. He or she's just some puss from some faraway land or from some faraway state where it's illegal, and they don't know any better because we don't educate them of that. We're very busy worrying people about secondhand smoke, but yet we don't tell them about things that are legal in our fair state. Your job is to honk, not to look at me confused and throw your hands up when I honk at you for not honking. You then honk at the person in front of you. It's a Dama honk.
Right.
Nice.
Sounds like a great sexual move, the Dama honk. But I honk at your stupid pussy ass, and then you honk at the stupid puss who's in front of you who's not turning right when it's all clear. Thank you.
On the other hand, you can, the 101, which sucks anyway, you can see City Hall. So imagine the traffic jam one of your plans would cause.
That would be
awesome. Don't burn down City Hall, because you'll be stuck there in traffic all day watching it.
Well, maybe you're right, but really, can't we do something about this?
You know, I almost bought a loft specifically. I was looking for lofts downtown, and I liked one as much as the others. They were all pretty great. But one literally had the train station in kind of the building. You had to walk outside and then just turn immediately right, and you were on the train.
Mm-hmm.
I've never even been on that. It's the Metro, right?
Yeah.
I've never even been on it, and it goes to my house. But it didn't go to my house from anywhere.
That's right.
It didn't go to anywhere near where anything I would ever need to do is.
I've never been on it, but I've seen the signs. It does a loop. It says Bonaducci's house. There's a big axe, and then there's a circle. It just drives. It's like your house is a Christmas tree.
I mean, here,
it just goes in a circle around it.
What ones are you aware of? Entrances that you could get on?
I hear you can go to downtown and watch a game at the Staples Center and get back on and go back the other way.
Cool.
But I don't know anyone that's ever ridden it, or if I do, they do it once every 3 years. So obviously it has not made a dent in what's going on. Here's the reality. And then we're going to Huellhauser.
Oh, yeah.
We do nothing but attempt to educate people in this crappy city. We do nothing but harp on putting seatbelts on. We do nothing but talk about your kids and how to educate them and how to keep them safe. We do nothing but educate. We could educate drivers, move the city along 10 or 15% faster just through being more educated in our driving. Just wake up and drive, in other words. Here's a few laws, and then the threat of a couple tickets, and we'd never have to build another subway or put up another lane and on the 405 or anything. Just tell people to move it along. Instead, we tell them speed kills, click it or ticket, slow it down, 55, arrive alive. All we do, all our mantras are slow down.
Right.
We don't need to slow down. We're not going anywhere as it is. How about shake your ass? How about move it along? Where does that campaign come in? That's my argument.
I'd cut off an arm to be able to drive 55 and arrive alive. You can't hit 55 in this state anywhere. Or
yes.
At least in this city.
Yes.
At any time of day or night, you cannot be confident that you are going to be able to travel at 50 miles an hour in L.A.
Let me say this to Mayor Villaretardo and all his lackeys over at the California Highway Patrol and all the PDs. Stop telling us to slow down! We're not moving, you idiots! How about you tell people, how about we educate people how to speed up? There's a novel idea. All right, I'm tired of these tards. I'm going to get angry. Where were we?
I don't know how we're going to top this.
Huelhauser.
The Huel, dulcet tones.
Huel is, well, he's the guy who does California's Gold over on the PBS station. He's been a fixture out here for 20-something years. He's the most boring man on television. But there's something about him you like. He is now talking to UCLA folks about rideshare. Let's listen.
Oh, boy, stuck in traffic again. And while we're sitting here behind these trucks, you want some figures?
Uh-oh.
Well, there are almost 11 million licensed drivers in Southern California.
Jeez.
And all the stats tell us that traffic congestion is getting worse. In fact, we have five of the worst bottlenecks in the entire nation. Now, that's something to be proud of.
How weird is that? That's actually interesting.
We have the. I know.
That's
Wait a minute. Huel, that was entertaining.
Stop that.
It wasn't entertaining, but it was at least informative about
five,
something we care about.
Five of the worst bottlenecks in the country are in L.A.?
That's interesting. It's probably five or at least three in the world. The 405 and the 130 and the 101,
right.
The 405 and the 10, the like 110 and the 10 or something like that. We have the world. We have the most congestion or most congested intersections on the planet, and they are all about 6 miles away from each other and form a triangle. Yet none of the retards that run this city think it's a problem.
I
even
find it
though,
a problem that there's four of them and they shape a triangle.
How about three? Last I heard, we had three. That's a decent point. Well, one is the middle. We had three, and I don't know if we have four or five of them now.
I remember this. We had the number one most dangerous and deadly freeway. And believe it or not, it was the old Pasadena freeway.
Yes, very very narrow.
And the stop signs at the entrances, normally you get up to speed at those things.
Right.
And that freeway, you're actually on the freeway at a stop sign, you look for a hole and floor it.
It is nice using that as a drag strip. All right, so there's a Huel telling us what's coming. Let's listen to Huel as he goes into some more traffic figures. Oh, no.
Every day, Southern Californians waste 1.8 million hours stuck in traffic. That averages out to over four full days a year. Each solo driver is stressed out, bummed out. We lose 4 days a year, each of us does, sitting in traffic. What in the world are we going to do about this problem?
Wait a minute, Huel, you're my new hero. I feel like
weird.
We should team up now.
It doesn't even, it's like a bad Huel impersonation because he's doing a good job.
I was actually listening and not laughing.
Facts and figures, he asked an interesting philosophical question.
Yeah, but facts that I cared about, not exactly how many rocks are in your bucket. You know, it's a figure
question.
I care about.
Aren't there just a lot of people who want to live in L.A. and therefore too many cars?
Yes.
So
look,
that's it.
Here's what we have.
Nice. She's got you there.
T's right. We should all kill ourselves inhaling the exhaust that comes out of the car.
That's an okay solution.
Nobody should kill anybody, but if you do, why not just like the guy on your right?
That's right.
If
make a little more room
bus,
on the road. Here's the thing. We also waste like 50 gallons a year sitting in traffic of fuel. So it's something that cost billions of dollars a year in lost productivity, yet we don't make a concerted effort to do anything about it, and that's what makes me angry. Yes, it's futile. Too many cars, the roads aren't big enough, but we can put a dent in it. It's like this. They do that thing where I always bring up, they go, oh, man, we've had a drought for 2 years. We use this much water. We're just not able to have enough water. So they get the word out, and they say, hey, sweep your driveway. Don't hose it off. And they say, hey, run your sprinklers at night. Don't run them during the day. At noon, all the water evaporates. And they say, hey, don't wash your car in your driveway. Take it to a car wash or use one of those duster things and get the dust off it. And lo and behold, pow, we've saved 30% in water. We didn't make any more water. There's still as many people who live here and use water. We educated people. They woke up and we put a dent in it. It wasn't 90%. It was 25%. But that's
25% is a lot.
Billions of dollars and thousands of man hours and so on and so forth. We could do the same thing with driving if all the lazy, stupid pussies would get off their ass and drive in the city, but we tell them to slow down and then we hand tickets to the folks that are driving too fast.
I honestly don't understand that one though.
I
am being completely sincere. Am I missing something, or are you saying in all these terrible traffic jams, we could be going faster, we're just choosing not to?
I will give you a couple examples. Sorry, Huel, you got to wait for a second. As it pertains to the streets, at least, they did a big thing where Via Retardo was going down Van Nuys Boulevard because they had unveiled a plan where they decided to synchronize 5 lights in the middle of Van Nuys Boulevard. That was a year ago.
Now, if you hit 35 and stay there, you'll always be in a green light, something like that?
Yeah, okay. That should have been done 25 years ago. Yeah. And by the way, don't tell me about technology. You've had the cameras in the intersection that flashes a strobe, and then a ticket shows up at my house 48 hours later. Yeah. That's been in place for 15 years. Yeah. So obviously, if there was something in it for them, like $245 for an effing ticket, they'd get off their ass. Now, there are things like the right turn. People don't know they can turn right. How about the left turn arrows? Perhaps you've heard me bring this up. I drive through every single one of them every single day and have never got a ticket. Please do it, people, and stop being pussies. Why does the arrow turn red? Why doesn't it turn green? Let as many cars go, and then you're just back on the signal. 2 cars can make it through, or however many can make it through when there's no traffic coming. How about synchronizing those or working those out? I have one by my house. It's sort of necessary at 5 o'clock on Monday. There's a lot of traffic and so on and so forth. Why on Sunday at 6:30 in the evening when there's no traffic am I sitting at the same signal? I don't do it because I'm not a lemming pussy. I turn and go through it. But why is the puss in front of me who I'm trapped behind now, why is he sitting there on Sunday? Why haven't we adjusted it, put it on a timer, done a weekday and weekend when there's less traffic, whatever? Why aren't we making a concerted effort? Why aren't we pushing for this? Why aren't we telling people, hey, if the signal turns green and you're napping, talking on your cell phone for a 5 Mississippi, you're going to get a ticket?
That worked with, what is that called? Not bottlenecking, when you're stuck in the middle of the intersection.
Gridlock.
Gridlock. That's like a $500 ticket.
Don't block the
and
box.
It's pretty much stopped. It stopped in a lot of the places where I used to go where it happened every traffic light.
Right. You give a little incentive, which is you're going to have to reach in your wallet. And
500 times.
It's not just about trying to go fast. I mean, think about the message. Every time you reach in your wallet as it pertains to driving, it's because you're trying to get from point A to point B faster. You're either physically speeding, or you're trying to make the light, or you're doing some maneuver which is going to get you from your house to the airport 5 minutes faster. That's what you get ticketed for. Do you know anyone? Close your eyes and tell me all the people, and include yourself and everyone listening, who's ever got a ticket for not turning right on a red signal when there was no traffic, even though it's legal and that's what you're supposed to do according to the law? Have you ever got a ticket for that? No. I've been pulled over and blocked traffic because they took up the right lane because they wrote me a ticket for no front license plate, right, so that they can make more money from the cameras that were installed in their intersections and thus bottlenecked Cahuenga because everyone had to look at the guy from the Man Show getting the ticket for nothing. That's happened to me dozens of times. But have I ever gotten a ticket for that? Do you know anyone who's gotten a ticket for going too slow or for just generally holding people up, just sort of meandering with a bunch of people behind them, or not going when they could go? No. So we give tickets to people for moving in this city, and it is really the opposite. We're punishing those who try to get along.
Plus, I wouldn't mind being prosecuted on a meandering charge.
You know, instead of pandering, as usual?
Yeah, it sounds so much better.
Adam, ooh, I wouldn't mind if you told people to drive like champions.
Oh, that's the other thing, too. That's what I want all those freeway signs lit up. I want all those expensive billboards that just say drive like champions. That's what I want. I want a little motivation, or one that just says hustle, big letters.
like focus,
like the scoreboard of a stadium. Let's go. Right. Mach Schnell, move it along.
You put up hustle on this freeway in bright lights, everybody's just going to start looking for the naked chicks.
It's a horrible, horrible city we live in, and it is governed by semi-retarded idiots.
Yeah,
I've spoken to them many times who don't care about any of the things we care about. And traffic, and there should be an effing class action lawsuit against the city of Los Angeles by the people who pay more taxes than just about any other city in the country for what they have done to us.
I concur very nicely.
Thank
said.
Thank you, you retards. Now, where was I?
By the way, I think I live in one of the greatest cities in the world. I just think you don't. So if you would just move out, I'm not talking to Adam, I'm just talking in general. If you would talk to your neighbor and tell him just to go to Wyoming, that it's really cheap there and stuff, they have great schools, that'd be nice.
I say we should salute carpoolers.
I agree.
By allowing them to come with us to the Playboy Mansion.
Ah.
Wow.
It's a nice segue.
Wow.
Hey, Via Retardo, when you've rolled off your Telemundo reporter, perhaps you should head down to Van Nuys and fill a pothole in with a chrome hard hat and your three-piece suit, because that's going to make it all go away, you idiot. Please do something. Where was I?
Well,
Huelhauser?
All of this almost too exciting to bear.
All right, now I'm fired up. Let's hear our next Huelhauser clip.
Here she comes. This is part of the solution right here. Here comes this van coming in here. Right on the side, it says Van Pool. I have a feeling, there are people in there that are going to be getting out in just a minute.
Yes, sir.
Is there anybody in this van?
Yes, sir.
Come on and get out. You all are.
No, thanks,
you. How are you doing? I was beginning to think y'all were stuck in there.
If Huel was standing, if there's a 9-foot guy wearing desert boots standing at the end of my van going, come on, get out! I would be like, all right, I'm going to crawl out of the exhaust pipe. You make a run for the door, start some sort of diversionary fire or something. I'm going to crawl out of the effing transmission. I'm tunneling through the floor of the van.
I'm jealous. Come on out of that van. No, I'll be staying in the van.
So Huel's waiting at the van. He has his microphone ready, and I'm guessing he's going to talk to some folks.
Your name again?
Maria Leon Hope.
All right, take off for us.
Thank you.
Drive carefully. You've never had an accident, have you?
Not yet. And I hope it will stay like that.
I think it will.
Okay. Bye-bye.
What a great story.
He'll talk to me. And by the way, anyone who thinks about moving to Los Angeles, that's Los Angeles right there.
Yep.
9-foot gay guy talking to someone who barely speaks English. That's Los Angeles. That's all we have. Gay lumberjacks and folks that barely speak English. That's it. And you, right, if you want to come out here.
Right.
You want to come out here and sit in traffic, have a 9-foot lumberjack in front of you and a guy from El Salvador behind you who doesn't speak a lick of English? That's Los Angeles. Come on down and make a lovely sandwich. We'll wedge you between Huel and Señorita Oscondita over here, and it'll be awesome.
It is not, and we are not obviously the only city. We've probably had it the longest because it's been such a popular city, but Phoenix grew so fast it didn't get to think out its traffic problems all the way. Same with Vegas.
Right.
Grew so fast, they thought, okay, what do we do? How do we fix this? And they've got awful traffic. Now, it seems like maybe they should have learned a lesson from L.A. rather than just repeat it. Here comes the world, where the fastest growing cities in America. How do we get the freeways moving before they all get here?
I'm saying Phoenix and Vegas have traffic problems. Perhaps we should dispatch Villaraigosa to have sex with one of their reporters from one of their Mexican regional channels. That'll fix it. That's how he approaches the problem here.
By the way, I think if you're getting sex from somebody, it's a fine way to solve it.
Villaraigosa, if you're listening, go out to Phoenix and have sex with a strange woman. That'll fix the traffic woes.
Listen, I'm sure her reportage of the mayor was very objective while she was banging him.
I sound like you.
I cannot imagine that you're so anti-Villaraigosa has anything to do with the reporter. That's just something you have to jab him with.
I'm just jabbing him with that. I just think he's an impotent puss. Right. I really do. He does. This town has nothing but graffiti and traffic. And the good news is while you're in gridlock, you can look to your right and look to your left and get caught up on the latest gangs in the city.
Yeah.
But that's not something he's interested in getting into. So, good times there, Villaraigosa. Head out to Vegas and start humping. We need to take ourselves a break. I had some more Huel, but I got too fired up about traffic. Chris Titus, a man who's never at a loss for words, is going to be in here next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
That's my dad. How's it going, Christopher? Mr. Smartass Comedian. Comedian. What? Shut up! I'm talking to my son! I mean, Merry Christmas, Grandma.
Now from the new ABC series, Big Shots, comedian Christopher Titus on the Adam Carolla Show.
Always great to see Christopher Titus, truly one of the nicest guys in show business.
What? That was nice of you to say.
That is nice of you to say.
I actually believe Danny Bonaducci is. My sister was at a gym, and actually you went to the church for a while with her, and my sister says very nice things about you.
Thank you, but don't ruin my reputation, man.
That is very nice. But dude, you need to get a lozenge sponsorship or something, man. I hear you on the radio every day. You look like Jack Klugman after tracheotomy surgery, man. I had a polyp removed. Can you fix that?
I had 14 polyps removed.
Is that what
swear
it is?
To God.
Is that why?
And I don't have one left.
Wow.
They're gone, and this is the pipes that are left.
Wow, it's wild. And by the way, really funny. You did something a couple weeks ago that freaked me out. You launched into a rap. Like, you were playing music, and you launched in balls out and did a rap song. And stayed with you. Two rap songs.
Yeah.
Red-haired guy. Don't do it again. Oh,
God.
Go ahead. Let's go.
You
want to
do a rap about you?
No, yeah. Can you do it? Don't do that with Big Shots, because I don't think you can swear.
I could probably do it.
Do Titus or Big Shots or anything.
On the new show. Yeah, help the new show. Come on, help it. Let's go.
It's on ABC, and it's about very manly men.
Yeah.
This is easy?
I'm sitting here with Christopher Titus. I know you wouldn't want to take a chance to fight us. You know why? Because we're real hot, because we got a show that's called Big Shot.
Tell Danny to move on.
It was my. The other ones were good.
Well,
that one was all right.
I could have gone on forever, and by the time I got another minute into it, I'd have been really wailing. But thank you for noticing I actually have a skill.
Yeah, yes, I have a new show on. It's Big Shots on ABC after Grey's Anatomy. And the hard part about it is that we're after Grey's Anatomy, so no matter what, it's like, all right, you're going to go up next, and you're going to Jesus, and then you. That's what it's kind of like.
Get Jesus's lead-in.
Yeah, but exactly.
But the whole
people
thing
are going to get into the bathroom after Jesus gets off.
Mixed
spiritual.
In life, everyone wants a great lead-in, but on the other hand, here's how the lead-in works. You held on to 18% of Grey's Anatomy's viewers, and then you get punished for it. In a way, I would rather have a crappy lead-in and go, hey, we did 110% of what they did.
Yeah, like after Caveman premiered, people were like, wow, hey, nobody died. You know, I mean, they're like, the audience didn't just keel over and die. It was a success. So we're actually doing pretty good. And there's been a lot of press about it, talking about it's, you have four rich white guys, and which is why it's actually gotten funny. But the pilot script was the pilot script. And now we are in episode 3, and I got to tell you, this episode was directed by a guy that did Sex in in the City, very funny, and the show scripts have just gotten better and better. So just hang with the
show. You know
I promise. By the way, I'm a comic, so I'm going to get beat up if I'm lying.
Right?
Every time I go in a club, I will never get those hours of my life back. So I'm telling
you. A club? You mean like the Brit Improv, Christopher Titus, where you're going to be next week?
Yes, I'll be there next week working on my new show called Nobody Deserves This. Nobody Deserves This about my divorce. And by the way, dude, condolences.
Thanks, man.
Condolences. I'm going through it too, man.
Well, you know, between the throat cancer and the divorce, it has been a rough day.
Christopher, you were going through the divorce when we saw you here last, and that seemed like it's been a while.
Still riding it. Still riding the divorce, my friend. Someone will not sign the paperwork. And by the way, I got threatened. Last time I was on the radio, I did the show, and I get done, and there's a phone call literally from her. Hey, I talked to Adam Carolla, and he said he's going to testify. I'm like, really?
What?
I know Adam. Really? Adam's going to testify?
I'll testify. You
Adam
won't like what I say.
At his own trial.
I can't. Comfortable. Well, it's just that she used you. It was very.
I don't want to get you any more trouble, but mention that your wife cheated.
Yes, two men. Yes, 60-year-old, a 60-year-old guy, which is, how do you finish sex and change his bag? How does it work?
60-year-old guy, and she dropped the kids off at Elmo Live.
Oh, you
cheated?
Remember this.
Before she cheated.
Wow. God, I'm not going to do the bit again, but she went to Elmo Live, and then the guy was at the house at 11:30. The email says the guy was at my house from 11:30 to 5:04 in the morning. Well, I'm sure they were discussing Sesame Street characters. Some, I don't want to talk about it.
Someone was getting tickled, and it was not
I
Elmo.
I must have said this last time.
What?
Because this is too weird if I didn't mention this. My divorce is mainly over a person who performed in that show.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no. A person who danced in one of those suits.
Same bastard. Are you kidding me?
No.
She was cheating with that guy?
No, I was cheating with that girl.
You cheated with Mr. Wiggles?
I can't tell you which character.
What character?
I can't. There's like a thing. I can't. But
wow.
Yeah. Did he? How weird is that?
Hold on. That's the weirdest.
You don't have to tell us who it was, but did he either have an insatiable craving for cookies or live in a trash can?
There you go.
Or was he very, grouchy?
Did he
or
count with the Transylvanian accent?
kind of a large bird?
I would like to just point out at this juncture, every single attorney that's listening about every single lawsuit right now, because there's dozens of them going on this particular one, they're guessing.
Right.
Okay?
We're
if it happened to have been
saying.
One of those... They're guessing.
See, I think that touring Elmo show is just basically a big black hole of evil. That's all it's doing. It's causing divorces.
You know what it is? It's the touring company of any kind is just a roaming orgy.
Here's my question, Danny. What the hell was going on with you that you ended up, you went to the Elmo thing and you're like, wow, the fuzzy suit, hot.
Yeah.
I need some of that.
That is a fetish.
You ran into a very hot chick and... Really, really liked her. This was the only time I've ever had an affair. I had one affair in my life, and I feel very guilty about it. But
cost you your marriage?
Yes, it did. And
well, there you
money
go.
As well, and visitation to my own kids.
We got to talk. Seriously. See, we're both angry though. It's not good to get us talking.
She hates when I make jokes about the way I don't like my kids that much because then my kids hear it at school and think, oh, it's true. I love my kids.
You love
but
your kids.
Of course, I love my kids, of course. But the fact of the matter is that I just ran into some hot chick. And then later when I found out what she did for a living, it started to freak me out because I wondered if I somehow drew these people in because I've also had sex with either, what are those two squirrels that are always polite?
Oh,
Chip and Dale.
I've either boned Chip and or Dale. I'm not sure.
In a dream or this actually happened?
No, in real life, wearing the head.
Were they chipping like on ice? Where did you meet Chip and Dale? How do you just run into Chip and Dale?
At a place where Chip and Dale might be employed.
What the hell are you doing going to Chip and Dale? You go to the Elmo Live. Yes, it's
all I'm saying is this girl.
It was a dude from Chip and Dale, so it's a little bit different.
It was a hot girl, and then she told me what she did, and I said, I mean, just for fun, not because I'm a pervert or anything, I just said, it'd be really fun. We wear the head, please.
Oh,
can you wear the head?
No way.
Wow. How would Ace Man call that at a strip club?
Awesome. But you had to get all the foreplay out of the way.
Hey, everybody! It's time to get out those nuts. We got a couple of squirrels in here. We got the head Furby, Bonaducci. No! That's not a red Merc he's sporting down there. That's called pews, my kids. Jade, stage 4. All right, then any kids got around, Dooch Man's going to have sex with a rodent.
It does seem odd that I have been with two people who wear fursuits.
Well, why did you want her to leave the head on during sex?
I wanted her to leave the head on. We were just at a, I can't believe we got a famous
yeah, that would be weird. Just put it on for a little while. Because it'll be weird if you leave it on the whole time.
No, she was not wearing a suit. She was naked. She hadn't even come from work. It was just sitting there like it always does before she goes to work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're making out and we're starting to do stuff because you don't want that head on too early, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Things start and then I look over and I'm staring at this head, this giant squirrel head, and I finally said, dude, do me a favor. Put on the head.
Yeah, because it'd be weird.
Come on, just for fun. Just like for a second, wear the head.
I don't bust the dude out too often when I'm talking to chicks.
You know, no, I do all the time.
I'll do it on the road. Like, dude, learn to drive if some chick cuts me off. But in the bedroom,
I leave
the dude in the hall.
Really? I can't help it. And women are guys, too. It's like, hey, guys, always.
We have to take ourselves a quick break. Christopher Titus.
And then we can whore the show. We can whore my show when we come back, right?
We will, do not worry. We will whore
out
Christopher Titus.
Stories.
Big Shots, new series on ABC Thursday nights. Hey, tonight, 10 o'clock, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Christopher Titus next.
One year ago, on a night just like tonight.
People were S-faced about an hour ago.
There was a man committing a sex act on a woman in a fishnet stocking.
Don't electrocute him!
Charlotte is topless.
Where's my phone, you fat ass?
Ray,
look, is officially turned into Sodom and Gomorrah here.
October 25th at the Playboy Mansion, the return of Blotto in the Grotto. And this time...
Let's take a drive, baby.
We're bringing Bonaducci.
Hey, bitch, I'm having a good old time.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Christopher Titus is in studio. Big Shots, new series on ABC, Thursday nights, 10 o'clock.
Yes, tonight, 10 o'clock. Yes, it's good. And this, by the way, I got to tell you, because I got to be honest, man. Again, like I'm saying, like, I wrote my last show, and The pilot of the show, every time you put a show together, you put a bunch of guys together and you put a show together, the pilot is the pilot, and then the first episode, you're getting your sea legs back. I promise you, tonight's episode, really good, really funny, and then it just gets better from there.
Oh, we'll watch it, but I think you might be being a little hard on yourself, brother. I'm looking at the reviews right now, they're not nearly as hard on your show as you are.
I know, but it's some of them are brutal, man. It's like they were going to make it a really hardcore drama, and then we realized it was four rich white guys, and how
Well, it's been compared to Desperate Housewives, but with men.
Yes.
Okay. Mine was compared with live executions by the New York Times. They said, what would be the next step in the de-evolution of reality TV? Yeah. We thought it would be live executions. It's not. It's Danny Bonaducci, and it's more disturbing.
I could not look away, though. I have to be honest. I could not look away.
I couldn't either.
I could not look away.
Thank you.
So, and I was gonna do a five-minute bit on traffic in L.A., but I blew that off.
Holy crap.
Only 5 minutes on a bus.
Titus, are you writing another one-man show? Because you did Norman Rockwell is Bleeding, which I saw in
And then
phenomenal.
Fifth Annual End of the World Tour. If you go to the reviews on that, it's out in stores right now. It's killer. And then, the new one's called Nobody Deserves This, which is about the wife. I filed for divorce on June 6th, 2006. It's 666, which turned my ex into a demon slithering from the depths of Satan's anus. But for legal reasons, I have to call her Kate.
And
we did it again. First three digits of my wife's phone number.
666. Yep. There you go. See, it's all connected. It's all connected, Danny.
It is strange.
But you're turning your pain into art.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know. What did God say? All right, you're going to do a first show about you screwed up your mom in the mental hospital and the suicide and this. Then the second show is going to be about the world coming apart and having kids right before 9/11. Third show is going to be about your horrible divorce. I guess my fourth show, my prostate cancer scare, and then my fifth show, when I slowly get Alzheimer's. That show's not going to be that good.
Do one on LA traffic. I want to see that show. So you have not been the divorce is not settled. How about custody? What do you have? Two kids?
I have two kids. I get Tuesdays and every other weekend, and working it's just rough, man. So last year I wasn't involved in school. I was really tore up. I was like literally that James Blunt album came out and I was curled up like a ball on the floor for like three months. It was horrible. If I ever find him, I swear to God, I'm just gonna punch him. If I have red carpet, I'm James Blunt's going down.
Is that a promise?
How about the fact that he's 4 foot tall and he's singing about some chick he never met in a train station? Meanwhile, he's on top of that super hot Russian model, whatever Porshtova, Koloskova, whatever her name is. Petra Nemkova.
He actually is.
Whose last boyfriend was swept out to sea. And no one really understands how great that is for the next guy. You see, most models date celebrity guys. And every time you turn on the TV and you see Entertainment Tonight, you see George Clooney and Matt Damon, and you go, oh, that's right. you were with those guys before me.
Yeah.
Her guy got swept out to sea.
But he can write a song.
He's
about
gone.
It.
He's not going to pop up on Entertainment Tonight. He's not going to do anything. The point is your ex was swept out to sea by a tsunami.
And that's.
That's a good thing.
Oh, see, the waves came in.
I told
they
you.
They pulled him out. He was underwater. He could not shout.
See, she can actually help.
The problem with that is, though, the dead guy can never make a mistake.
Well, that's
I dated
true.
That girl yeah. who had her boyfriend murdered, mm-hmm. and she had a little shrine to him, and I started to resent it. And I'd say, can you just get that out of here? Does he have to have all those pictures of that guy in the room? And he said, yes, I do. He was murdered.
Wow, surprisingly, she got mad. He was murdered, had a
so
shrine,
what?
And you said, kill the shrine. That's
so
it.
I gotta,
wow, she got upset with that. That's
I
got
to make love to the woman I love while looking at pictures of the guy she used to love till somebody had good sense to shoot him. Well, that part might have been rude.
I just like the idea of James Blunt,
wow.
like in his recording. He's in his recording studio, and Parachova comes in there, and he's like, sweetie, what rhymes with Davy Jones' Locker? Locker, Soccer.
Like it's sung by
did
Joe
he
Cocker.
Play soccer? He plays soccer.
Just so you know, they broke up, and now he's
oh.
dating one of these pussycat dolls.
No!
Allegedly.
Oh, I would love respect.
You know what I'd like to do to him? I'd have this fantasy, and I think we all do. Remember in Animal House when yeah. Belushi was staggering down the stairs at the end of the party, and the guy like,
I gave my life for chicken.
I'd just like to give him the El Kabong. Just every balladeer, every little wimpy songster with the acoustic guitar, I'd just like to take that thing and just take his head off with it like I'm swinging at a pinata.
Yes.
Although you'd
yes.
have to hit Peter Chris in the head with his drum set for Beth, I Hear You Calling.
I would throw the
yeah. Don't
the
you get
bass
one though? Don't you get
at.
One?
Do.
Of course,
like
you get
the James Blunt album, the whole
one.
Album, and yeah. then the new album. It just you can't. You, if you make three songs on one album that well, that actually literally make your tear ducts well up, or make what you know, you're dead.
So you miss
Terry.
The kids.
By the way, Terry, the bit I listen to all the time. Terry, you bring in Terry and James
Blunt. Paul. You want him? You want him to take your wife to a nice warm volcano for the winter?
Terry, James Blunt, and the ex. That'd be fine.
So,
kids love her, though.
The kids, you love your kids. You don't get to see them but Tuesday and every other weekend.
Yeah, and it's very odd. It's very odd. You know, Tuesday, because I get them after school on Tuesday, and then after you back at school on Wednesday. So I get like, it's like a commercial break with my children. And now, a couple minutes with the kids.
You know? That was a rough one, because I moved the house my wife lives in is 7,200 square feet.
Wow.
It's a castle.
Wow.
I went to corporate housing because I wanted to sell that house, so I didn't take any furniture out. So I live in an 800 square foot place.
Really?
Yeah, 800
Big Shot Radio
feet.
Guy, really?
Yeah, it's $4,000 a month.
Wow.
Because it comes with forks and knives and beds and cable. Okay,
and
you just walk in with the clothes on your back.
Very nice.
Then I bought a condo that I don't move into yet, and that's $6,000 a month.
Wow.
And I got to do all that before I feed everybody.
Yeah.
It's a busy, busy day. But
oh,
That's why I want to get rid of the check. That's why, you know,
I'm trying to marry mine off right away.
You don't,
I
you
heard
don't
the Branson
see,
thing.
You
Richard
don't.
Branson, that was hilarious. You're such a whore about it. Hey, dude, want to marry my wife?
he does listen to the show. Yeah.
Nice.
You don't get to see your kids.
Are you kidding me? People, what do you think? I'm like, every time I'm on, I'm intimidated coming on here.
You see your kids once a week, but your wallet sees your kids 7 days a week.
Yeah, 7 days a week, yeah, and two big times on the 1st and the 15th. Yes, they do. My wallet. Hello. That's a hard one to open, too, man. That checkbook just starts shaking.
No. Is there anything to the idea that she came out here with you when you were a struggling comedian and she stood by you and she helped you?
Not if she cheated.
I don't even
not
know.
Not if she cheated.
Yeah,
no.
How about...
She flew to freaking, you know, to Missouri on that one-nighter tour I did, and she beat the head with some opening act with a guitar. Yeah, she did that. No,
James
I did
Blunt.
That.
Well,
you
look...
You know what? He used to be funnier.
There is that...
He was funnier when I toured through the comedy zones in the South. He was funnier then.
The thing is I don't understand why we can't figure this one out. This she'll just get half thing never made sense to me. It does when she puts you through college and then through med school, right. And now you're a successful plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills and you dump her to marry your hot secretary. Then that's half, maybe more. But I know guys have been married. I knew a guy who was a performer. And no one you've heard of, and he was a professional juggler, but he made a lot of money on stage, and he married a hot chick, and she divorced him after 2 years, and all he did was pay for her acting lessons for 2 years while she sunned by the pool of his condo, and when they broke up and she dumped him, she took half his money.
Yeah.
And it was like, Doesn't she owe you money for 2 years of free room and board and acting school? No.
We've been married for 17 years, so she gets alimony for life.
Now are they going to say okay to that? Because I found out, and here's I'm going to trial.
Well, see, that's why I've got to, because when I'm saying I'm getting sued, I don't necessarily mean by my wife. Was she suing for divorce legally? She couldn't be more polite about it. She said, I want alimony for life. I'm going to get married. 10 years. Let's call it 10 years. And then the lawyer guy said, okay, he made this much money over the last 5 years. You get $40,000 a month. And she said, I don't need that much money.
Wow, her love must love her. He's just going to a spasm.
So as a divorce goes, in every single possible way, she's a fine, fine lady. And I went and boned Elmo. Wow. Those are the facts.
Titus, would you be happy with 40 grand a month?
No, I'm not paying them.
I'm not either.
I'm confused, since she cheated on you, doesn't that count for anything in the eyes of the court?
Daddy, nail it. Ding, ding. No fault state. You can do anything. You can literally walk in. You could walk in on. You're going to get married, by the way?
I hope so.
Okay, you could walk in. Let's say 2 years from now, just for a what if. You could walk in on the room with a pussycat doll on her knees in front of him. In front of him, take a picture. Yes.
And he'd have half my money?
And he could just walk with half.
I need a prenup.
Yes, you do. If you don't get a prenup, I swear to God, I'm going to be here every day beating on the door.
David, I should get one, but how am I going to break that to him?
Yeah. David's a huge fan of Christopher Titus, by the way.
By the way, I have a new show on there. I just want to make sure.
Big shots, everyone.
Thank you.
ABC, right after Grey's Anatomy tonight.
ABCA makes me say
David,
a couple of minutes.
Big shots.
You say all praise to Christopher Titus.
Yeah, I saw him about 4 or 5 years ago at the Improv in Ontario, man, with my wife. And I never laughed so hard. I cried. I mean, I swear, I almost pissed myself. It was funny.
And that was the Improv in Ontario where he wasn't even trying.
Ontario's a new show, and I'm a little bit, Ontario, nobody deserves this. We're putting that up now. I'm still working on it, still on the stages, but it's working on it. And last night, by the way, my voice is jacked and I'm tired. I had to sing You Give Love a Bad Name on the set like 10 times last night.
You were shooting something.
Yes, we're shooting something.
You mean Big Shots?
I'm Big Shots. I had to sing. Because my wife, the storyline is my wife wants me to kept all the poems from her ex-boyfriend. And she's been kept for 20 years, 10 years, whatever long married. And I find him and I can't write a poetry. I'm trying to rhyme, I'm the cutest lips with uterus and it's horrible. And I end up giving her a Bon Jovi song. And she's not the smart, and writing a Bon Jovi song down. And then I had to sing it to the guys.
She thinks it's really a poem.
She thinks it's really
because women are dumb.
So I had to sing it in front of these extras. By the way, I've never been more humiliated filming something in my life than singing out loud to a bunch of extras who've been there 12 hours.
Christopher Titus, name of the show is Big Shots,
best
ABC.
Cast on television. Josh Molina, Dylan McDermott, Mike Martin. One more thing. I got to say one thing. Anyone wrap me up? I can tell you about Josh Molina. This guy is the most evil. Do you guys have someone on the show that if you screw up will not let it go? Okay. All right. Here's Molina. So we're doing ready. Michael Vartan, when he has a long speech, will get a little sweaty, right, for you, a little nervous. Right. So here's Molina. So they go, rolling. And Molina goes, cue flop sweat. Action! Every time. It's like four guys. It's like living in a frat house every time we're filming. It's a great show, honestly. From now on, it's a great show.
And I think I think if it's any consolation, Dylan McDermott's going through his own marital woes.
Yeah, but that guy's so cool, man. He's like, hey, Dylan, how you doing? I'm doing good. That's it. He didn't say
anything. Is he Dr. McDreamy? Because there's too many Dermots.
Let's hope he's dying on the inside. No. We will take ourselves a break. Thursday nights, tonight, 10 p.m. Big Shots. Titus, always great to see you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
The news. What's coming up in it, baby girl?
Well, a Norwegian show pranked a politician. It's hilarious.
We'll play you that clip, and we'll do it next.
Can't get enough of Adam, Danny, and Teresa? Well, you're in luck. Here's Bald Brian's bonus B-sides on the Adam Carolla Show.
We are gay, and we'll forever be gay.
I'd be dazzled, because I dig it.
I'm going to get a leather vest and wax my body up and scream from a bullhorn how great I am.
God, it's good to be white.
You're going to get to say hi to Adam's sack after the show.
I can do a Rubik's Cube with my butt cheeks.
I'm S-ing on myself as we speak.
I don't know that I'm necessarily an addict. Hey, maybe I need to slow down.
This is incoherent. This is gibberish. This is not funny. You all make me want to puke. All of you. Bald wow. Brian's B-sides.
Want to know something interesting about that?
That's been a lot the of, worst, yes.
A lot of coincidences going on this morning with the Bonaduce. You're all going to be introduced to Adam Sachs, is that what you said?
I think.
That's my last attorney. Swear to God, that's his name.
His name is Adam Sachs?
Yeah, Adam Sachs.
Good band name,
good, fine lawyer, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, if you don't know who you are. He's an O'Gale Cohen. I got a lot of lawyers these days. I had no lawyer like yesterday. Now I got an army of lawyers.
Hold on. Gail Cohen?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like my balls.
No. That's why.
Well, what's up? I thought we had an agreement. You only get representation that sounds like my balls.
I promise. I couldn't find another one.
Well,
there was one guy they called Shorty, but did you really want me to get him?
What happened to Nardo Scrotum then? I recommended him to you.
Mr. Nardo's Nance? English was broken. I am not getting represented by a person who is not fluent.
All right, so I guess I'll be putting away my Harry Scrot card. I guess I'll be using him myself. T?
Yep.
What's going on in the news, baby girl?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Yesterday, a 14-year-old named Asa Kuhn went on a shooting spree at his Cleveland, Ohio high school, Success Tech Academy. He injured four people, two students and two teachers, before taking his own life. Now, there's new information coming to light about him this morning. Some of it probably not too surprising. One of his friends said that she warned the principal, and also she says... told the Associated Press that I told my friends in the class that he had a gun and stuff. He was talking about doing it last week. I don't know why they didn't say nothing. We talked to the principal. She would try to get us all in the office, but it would always be too busy for it to happen.
I heard some of the kids interviewed from Success Tech.
Right.
Not sure how successful the tech has been going.
Definitely not a Jew.
Over there. Not a lot of proper English being spoken. After watching the news story, all I could do is go, well, I never want to go to Cleveland, Ohio. It just looked gray, and everyone looked pissed off, and it is, everyone looked equally stupid. Not, this is not a race-based thing. The white people, the black people, everyone seemed retarded.
The school is a non-traditional high school.
Right.
And
traditional means one where there's learning going on.
Exactly. The academy describes itself as small, non-traditional, and it provides a learning environment in which all students believe in their ability to succeed. It adds that the curriculum is problem-based and infused with technology. And as we talked about earlier, the Gates Foundation, Bill Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, partially underwrote.
Well, the problem, of course, is that nobody there can actually say the word infusion.
It. I heard some of those kids interviewed. It's like, what country are these guys from? What country is Ohio in?
There was some talk on the news last night that this 14-year-old Asa Kuhn had been charged with domestic violence, but it wasn't clear. Had he hit his brother? Had he hit his mom? Well, there's some more information now as to that. Kuhn's mother, Lori, told police back in 2006 that her son had slapped her and called her a name when she tried to break up a fight between him and his twin sister.
So there's at least three kids. As we know, there's the 18-year-old brother who was doing a little shooting, a little gunplay on the porch the other day. Now there's the sister. I got to call my pterodactyl in. As a matter of fact, I need an armada of pterodactyls to clean up this
people.
Horrible.
You might want to take some bureaucrats with you, because a court magistrate ordered psychological testing and family therapy, but Kuhn was not cooperative. He eventually was placed in an interim shelter where he tried to kill himself. This, according to the Plain Dealer.
How about the fact that there's at least three kids by the super white trash, I'm guessing, mom. The one son shot everyone at school. He's 14. The 18-year-old has a gun and is doing a shooting from his porch. And the daughter will just be a carrier. She'll just hook up with other guys who are abusive, get knocked up, they'll split, and we'll have a whole new generation. And Bill Gates, if you're listening, dig deep, buddy. Because we ain't done with you. We need more schools and put real high fences around them. And as a matter of fact, each school that Bill Gates builds, we should have a quick prison conversion worked out for it. Let's not waste money. You see, Bill, we don't want to charge you millions of dollars to build a school and then millions more to build a prison. They're essentially the same place. young troubled people go there. There's a fence around it. We call him a principal, but let's just call him a warden.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just have him easily converted over to prisons. Let's save some time.
I will get back to Success Tech in a moment, but let me finish telling you about this kid's journey. I will get back there verbally.
I want to know how many brothers and sisters he has.
So far, I know about the brother that had trouble, and I know about the twin sister. He eventually wound up, and this is Asa Kuhn I'm talking about, in a downtown detention center and then a mental hospital where staff determined he might be bipolar but suggested further evaluation. He was eventually released to home detention and enrolled in Success Tech, which is described also as a small magnet school for gifted and troubled students.
Right. He's ballistically gifted. Yes.
I'm explosive.
He loves guns.
That's where your dad taught me at one of those places.
Please, everybody, can we stop these bitches from crapping out criminals? That's our only hope. Our only hope is for the pussy politicians to get involved.
Didn't somebody actually try it? I think it was in Philadelphia. Didn't somebody try to force people to do Norplant?
I think he would offer it.
Every once in a while, there's some story about some judge who says, if you want child care or you want food stamps or whatever, you're going to have to get on Norplant so you don't have 9 kids. Right now, you have 8 kids and you have your hand out, and we're paying for all the 8 kids and we're paying for you, and there's no dad around. So if you want the rest of your payments, you have to take Norplant. But then, of course, the ACLU marches right on over to that judge's office and wants to know about that young woman's right to hatch out a 9th demon.
And that's the toughest law in the world. Luckily, I will never have to personally, or through my wife anyway, deal with it. But to take a child away from their mother is next to impossible on a permanent basis. They could take you, come in, and you're doing crack. They'll take the kid out for as little as 3 days.
I'm past that part. The part I'm on to is, can we stop the roaches from laying more eggs?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Again, when the exterminator comes to your house, what do you think he does? He brings a slipper, and he stands in the kitchen, and he says, I'm going to have to sleep over here, ma'am. And then I'll flick the lights on at 5 a.m. and I'll run around with my slipper and I'll smack everyone. And you go, wait a minute, buddy. Go find the nest. Not interested in the ones you catch with your effing slipper.
Right.
Go find the effing nest and go poison the nest. Well, that's what we need to do. The nest is a vagina. It's attached to almost every woman I've been with.
Yeah, well, almost everyone I've been with, too.
Fully 60% of the women I've been with have had them. And the kids come from that said vagina, and then they shoot your kids at school. That's how it works. We need to stop these roaches from reproducing, and obviously they ain't gonna govern themselves. Listen, government, you guys don't trust your people, do you? I can't go, hey, I'm building a garage on the side of my house. Relax there, city. I'll take care of it. Oh no, come on down. Wait in line and bring your checkbook, because we got a guy who wants to make sure you're doing it right. And I can't go, hey, I'll just drive my car. I know how to drive a car. I grew up driving a tractor on Daddy's farm. No, come down, wait in line, and bring your checkbook. We're going to make sure some guy who makes no money and can't be fired is going to tell you it's all right. We need something we can laminate so that we know it's okay for you to drive, because there are other people on the road. You could injure them. Well, what about the other people in schools? Or the other people at the liquor store your kid's going to rob and shoot up? Or the other people your kid's going to rape or stab? Aren't those other people? When are we going to get involved with this? And when are the pussy politicians going to man up and get involved with something that they look at as taboo? Because whenever you do this, whenever you get involved with reproduction, then you're playing God.
Right.
Then you don't get voted in. And by the way, there are more of those idiots voting. See, you look at this as your constituency. I look at them as criminals, but you look at them as potential voters.
Right.
So, of course, none of the pussy politicians would ever make a peep about this.
Two things, Adam. One is, do you know that you were just a designated ranter right then?
Oh, my God, I did, didn't
I? No, that's a very small speech, very poorly said originally by Keanu Reeves. Anybody can get a license. You need a license to drive. You need a license to do this. But any rat bastard can have a son.
Oh, Parenthood.
Yeah,
yes.
There you go. Yeah. So that was a much better delivered version of that. And this is my own personal addendum to Adam's just spraying the nest because they all had a vagina. Whatever Mr. Carolla says, it's his name on the door. I would just like to add personally, do not damage the vagina when you do this.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Please leave the vagina in vagina condition.
I agree.
Thank you.
Yes. Let's not ruin that good thing.
You want it in new vagina condition.
That's right.
I even used vagina condition. It's fine as long as it's still a vagina.
Danny, previously owned. That's the way I look at my vaginas.
That sounds better.
Not used.
Right.
Reconditioned and previously owned.
Refurbished. Nothing like that new vagina smell.
Well, listen, we never got to our Norwegian show prank.
Oh, well, wait a second. We need to take a break.
That's what I'm saying.
Gee, you talk so much we run out of news time. But wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah. Listen, you get paid the same. Who cares?
Same as who? I got kids to have.
The guy fills the vending machine.
Fertility treatments cost money.
Hey, Bald Brian, do you have the guy from the guy with the greasy bangs and his commentary? Yeah. Do you have that? Let's just listen to one of the geniuses who I saw the guy on CNN. Here's one of the geniuses from the neighborhood. Let's see if he can shed some light on this topic.
This morning, we're also hearing from neighbors of the young gunman. They were clearly stunned, but didn't seem overly surprised that the 14-year-old snapped.
Joe, why'd he do this?
I don't know. I ain't justifying nothing. I ain't saying he did the right thing, but I'm saying he got pushed for a long time and asking people to help, 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 and nobody helped. You know?
Who'd he ask for help?
I don't know. I'm sitting here. I ain't saying that. I'm just saying I know him as a person.
What about the guns, Joe? Do you know where he got the guns?
That's what I just said to him. I would like to know where the hell them guns come from because that boy should have never had access to any.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
That was an 11-year-old neighbor. This guy had the greasy blonde bang look that doesn't look right on anyone, and he was just going, I don't know nothing. But CNN, if you're listening, we don't need to hear from the people that don't know nothing. We are amongst those people. There's no light being shed on anything when you put a mic in front of a guy's face and he says, I don't know nothing for 10 minutes.
All in all, not a great Chamber of Commerce day for Cleveland.
No!
I would have to say that the only bigger and lasting I don't know nothing is Bald Brian has handy, I'm sure. I don't know nothing about birthing no babies. That's the only time.
I don't know nothing about birthing babies.
Holy.
You're like a genius and a god.
Dear God, that was fast.
That's the only I don't know nothing I think you've ever heard repeated because it was important.
We need to take ourselves a break because I don't know nothing about clock management. We'll take a quick break. Be back with the rest of T's News next.
In 2006, The Adam Carolla Show went to the Playboy Mansion for Blotto in the Grotto. This year, Adam wants to assemble a crew of crack party commandos. So if you're a party veteran and you want to crash the Playboy Mansion, call 866-901-ADAM and maybe you can join the Ace Team.
We're going to do that after news. What I'm looking for is a guy with a huge head.
Oh.
What a big old fat head.
Why?
Well, I don't really have a big head, but sometimes if I put on some weight, my face gets big. And then when I take pictures, it's all relative. You know, if you're standing in between Titus and Ryan Seacrest, it's going to be, hey, look at the Macy's float in between the two chiseled hunks. But if you get one of those guys with the huge head and you take a picture, then he's the guy with the huge head in the picture. And as a matter of fact, your head looks that much smaller.
Who screens these calls?
Once in a while, you see that guy. They come in all different shapes and colors. There's a Mexican version, a black version, a white version. There's an Asian version. The huge-headed guy. I want that guy to take pictures. Because, look, we're going to the Playboy Mansion. People are going to want to take pictures.
Right.
I don't want it to be me and the hot little petite model or the skinny guy from the San Fernando Valley. I want Mega Cabeza in the picture with me. So I need a guy with a big head.
If you guys are out there thinking, excuse me, if you were out there thinking, I don't know that being a hydrocephalic is ever going to pay off for me.
Oh, you're...
Your moment.
Your ship has arrived.
You know, yes. Before they put that shunt into the back of your head to get the liquid out,
right.
I think you should call right now What's our phone number? 1-866-901-ADAM. Yeah, I'd call that and say, well, I'm a hydrocephalic. You'll probably win.
Yes, you will.
But you got to be able to send a picture so we can prove it.
Yeah, I just need a guy with a massive head. And it doesn't have to be medical condition. You can just be one of those big old blockhead guys who I run into every time I leave the house.
Not as fun as a hydrocephalic.
I just need that guy in the picture with me. It's part of my ace team. All right, T.
Yep.
Sorry, the rest of the news, baby girl.
26-year-old Pia Haraldsen is a comedian who works for a Norwegian TV show called Rickets Rost, which covers the news in a similar style to The Daily Show. She recently did a Daily Show-type interview with Republican New York City Councilman James Otto. She pretended to be a serious journalist, and she started asking him a series of bizarre questions, trying to get a rise out of him. You're not going to hear this, but she first questioned how Barack Obama could run for president since black people can't be citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Very Barat style. Mm-hmm. Then asked about Hillary Clinton's cigar incident and whether it would hurt her candidacy. Here is New York City Councilman James Otto. He does not get the joke.
Can you say a little bit more about the Democrats? Do you really think that Hillary stands a chance after that embarrassing incident with the cigar?
Hey, Chris.
Okay.
What the do you have me in with these people? Throw these people out of my office.
I will explain for you all.
Well, get the out of here. Get the out of my office. Get out of my office. What is this nonsense?
Get the out of here.
Get out of here. Get out of my office.
Mr. Obama,
get out of my office. Hillary Clinton cigar, Barack Obama. Get the out of my office. What is this?
You think I got time to waste this? Get out of my office before I throw you the out of my office and I take your cameras and I throw out the window. Alright? I don't know what kind of game you're playing, but that's not the game I play. Alright? You're gonna answer that little thing and I should out of my office before I beat the out of you right now. Get
out of my office. Oh, all he's gotta say is coffee's for closers and I'm happy. My God.
I love that
coffee's
guy.
For closers only.
Who is that?
Brian.
Who was that?
Alec Baldwin from Glengarry Glen Ross.
No. I got that. Who's that?
New York City Councilman James Otto.
I want to vote for him for king.
Me too.
I think he should be the new king. That's just awesome. Take offense and don't call your staff. Physically say, I'm going to kick your ass. I love that man.
Yeah, I know. He's apologizing to his family and his fiance and his everyone constituency, but this person, these people, just wasted a bunch of your time and a bunch of taxpayer money goofing on you. Fine, tee off on them. I like that.
I just like they had the balls to do it.
It takes brass balls to sell real estate.
Apparently I am Alec Baldwin, just didn't know.
Baby Daniel.
No, I didn't mean like the happy one. I didn't mean an appearance, dude, just in bad attitude.
Hold on.
What?
Oh, okay. We're going to hear it. All right.
Yesterday, word came down.
There we go.
Thank you. That Bobby Brown had suffered a mild heart attack on Tuesday. Keep that rim shot ready, Brian, because he said that through his people that this heart attack was brought on by
stress
and diet.
That's right. The stress of running out of crack.
And the diet of crack.
That's right. And the diet of having to eat food. That's right.
He's 38 years old.
Sure.
Last night, he released a statement saying he did not have a heart attack. There are photos of him in the hospital, as well as videotape of him, some of which I'm going to play you.
Hey, and minus Whitney, he'll never be heard from again, right? I mean, there is a bunch of reality TV shows that would take him to flop, you know, in his house, but other than that, that's it for Bobby Brown, right?
I enjoyed Britney Spears' cover of My Prerogative. Beyond that, I don't know.
I will tell them when I've been on these CNN shows I've been doing lately about these kids all screwed up, and they want me to offer them advice. And it's like, you could have talked to me. You could have the Pope say personally, Danny, stop doing drugs. And I'd have gone, wow, I'm so high, I think the Pope's talking to me. But I keep making this offer, and I want people to know I'm serious. I got a guest room. If Bobby Brown wants to come over to my house and stay in my guest room and see how much fun my life is with no drugs in it, I have a great friggin' time. My whole, every day. You know? And I like these people to just come one at a time and move into my house.
That's a very kind offer. Now, let's hear a little bit of his videotaped message to his loved ones in case he didn't make it.
Bobby, I have to go under the knife now.
Let's face it, George Steinbrenner's been itching to fire over the last 4 or 5 years.
Whatever happens, I know nothing's guaranteed.
The fact that he was making $7 million
I want to tell my kids I love you, sisters, my mother, my father, I love y'all dearly.
I was listening to a news story about Schwarzenegger making $7 million.
Like, yeah, he's watching the TV in the background.
How about you turn the TV down, Bobby?
I mean, it's your farewell deathbed message to your family. Turn down the volume.
You want Pat O'Brien in the background?
I think is he listening to sports? I'm not sure what
it was a story about Schwarzenegger and $7 million. But yeah, when I deliver my last will and testament, I don't want Pat O'Brien going, and now Liz Taylor in the news.
Okay, now I'm doubly interested. Let's hear just the last clip we have of his deathbed recording to his family, and let's also hear what he's watching on TV.
My boy's new edition piece, man. My little girls, y'all know what to do with life. You know, daddy ain't coming home tomorrow, you know, but hopefully I'll be there soon. Y'all just take care of each other. All right. Peace.
Was that Joe Torre in the background?
Play the first one more time, and let's all just...
I think someone said something about making $7 million a year at the Yankees.
I thought I heard Schwarzenegger for some reason. I definitely heard $7 million.
Schwarzenegger's going to be the next manager of the Yankees.
Robbie.
Joe Torre.
I have to go under the knife.
Let's face it, Steinbrenner has been issued a fire over the last 4 or 5 years.
Whatever happens, I know nothing's guaranteed.
The fact that he was making $7 million,
I want to tell my kids I love you, sisters. My mother, my father, I love y'all dearly.
Oh, and Bobby, keep it down. Trying to figure out whether Torrey's going to re-up for another contract.
Moving message to his family and
has
also...
Has anybody ever done that?
Make a video message to my family?
Yeah, because you thought you might die.
I'm guessing you have.
Yeah.
Really? Really? Yeah. High as a kite.
No.
Sober?
Mm-hmm.
No S.
Yeah.
Do you have it?
It was called Ricky Bonaducci.
Probably. And I've actually done part of it once on Oprah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
I was dead serious. I figured, you know, I was just at my wit's end, and the way things were going, I was pretty sure it was probably going to be a bike accident. But I just had this premonition. Here it comes. It's coming right now. I'm going to step off this street and get hit by a bus right now. I had this feeling coming out of church. Mm-hmm. You noticed two of our guests in the last 2 days have said, oh, my friends know you from church.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a thing I do that people don't know that I do. I go, that's what I go to church every Sunday.
Except that you tell us every day.
Actually, no, I really almost never do.
He's talking about the chicken place.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Not the church house of worship.
Yeah,
oh,
it was
that's
Thursday.
What confused me.
Enough to
yeah.
have guests. No, I mean, I'm there frequently. I volunteer, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And
popcorn
I got this
shrimp.
Message yeah. to me mm-hmm. in church one day. And I thought, all's going to be well. Mm-hmm. And I went outside and I said, God gave me this piece of free mind mm-hmm. for this second. I'm going to get hit by a bus right now. I know it. And I got so freaked out that I was going to die. I sat down and made a video message of how to split up the money. I said, I don't know what our will says. Gretchen had it made out.
Pre-divorce, obviously.
Oh, years and years and years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I just said, here's the way I want things to go. Here's what I hope happens for you. Here's who gets what. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just tried to plan out the details because I just saw death coming. And then it missed me.
I would do...
I went to all that trouble, and it missed me.
I would do that, but I feel nice like you're jinxing yourself when you do that. But evidently it's not.
Yeah.
But now, since I said it, oh, now I'm confused.
Well, it seems like a kind thing to do.
I was kind of. I wasn't hurting anybody. Usually a lot of people do those when they're mad.
It'd actually be a cool sort of video diary to look back at in 20 years, because when you're looking at your last will, you're talking about where you're at right now, how old your kids are right now, what you're doing right now, what your assets are right now, who's in your life right now. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, I'm assembling my ace team for the Blotto and the Grotto. We're going to the Playboy Mansion. Wow. Ernie. And by the way, any guy named Ernie... You've just added 10 pounds to your head just by being on Ernie.
Yeah.
Now he's from Fullerton, and he had to have a special order football helmet because his head is so huge. But we got a lot of competition from Jeff and Jason and Paul. There, one guy's named nicknamed Buffalo Head because he's a huge head. But listen, it can't just be a huge head.
What else do you need?
I need a big fat face attached to the huge head. I'm sure Dolph Lundgren has a huge head, but with a chiseled face.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want that guy. I want just huge bucket head, no definition, rolls. How many rolls on the back of your neck?
How many quarters can you hold in the rolls of your back of your neck?
That's what I want to know. If you can have a parking meter worth of quarters in the back of your neck, you're in. We'll take a break. We'll pick someone to go to the Playboy Mansion next.
And we're back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Sorry, I'm eating Asian pear. Trying to grow my head to keep up with the Joneses. All right, we're going to be at the Playboy Mansion on the 25th. I'm doing a little A-team, or Ace team, as it were, assembling some guys. I don't need anyone who knows about plastique or knife throwing. I need a guy with a huge jug head to stand next to me when I pose for all the pictures. Thus, I won't look like the guy with the big head. Let's start at the top. Dan?
Yeah.
Wow.
You sound like you have a
Huge head.
Unfortunately, yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you also have to have a special helmet made in football?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do now for a living?
I'm a computer programmer.
Mm-hmm. And you have, you know, big head, double chin, rolls on the back of the neck, the whole thing?
Yeah. And it's shaved, so you get a real good look at it.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. All you folks should go to AdamCarolla.com, and we should put pictures of you cats on there and arrive, because I want to do this scientifically. Now, you sound like you have a massive head. Don't get me wrong, Dan. But then there are guys like Paul, who's nicknamed Buffalo Head. Paul?
Yeah.
They call you Buffalo Head?
Yeah, they call me Buffalo Head, man.
Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with your oral technique?
No, not at all. I just got a big noggin on top of my head, man. Kind of hairy.
Mm-hmm.
I was working over in Catalina for a while, and they wanted me to take pictures with the buffaloes that looked like my relatives.
Well, there's a lot of drunks over there in Catalina.
All right, so listen, Paul, again, you're going to have to go to AdamCarolla.com and submit a picture. Let's see. There's some guy on here who says he has a 24-inch head. And his face was paralyzed.
That's a good one.
Kelly?
Hey, Adam.
You have a 24-inch head?
24-inch circumference, sir.
What's your nationality?
Oh, well, I got a German-Irish background.
Mm-hmm.
About as good as I can get you for right now.
Mm-hmm. And you are you overweight?
I'm not. I got a little bit of a bloated stomach. That's just nerves. And the paralyzed face thing, that's a nerve thing. It comes and goes.
Like Bell's palsy?
Bell's palsy is exactly what it is. It's the seventh time I've had that, yeah.
And do you have a bell-shaped head?
No, it's more of a... it's oblong, double oblong, yeah.
How much would you say your head weighs?
Well, I weighed it years ago, and it was like 25 pounds. I have no idea what it weighs now.
Nice melon.
They were doing marijuana and heroin.
And you say you have a 24-inch head?
Yeah, my wife measured it not too long ago, because it's kind of, you know, we have a joke about it. And she measured it with one of those cloth tapes you use as a seamstress.
Yeah.
It was 24 inches,
What would
bro.
You call one of those things there, Adam?
Well, my wife calls it a what the F, and I say it's a cloth tape that you use when you sew, and she said, what's sewing? And I said, you know, when you take a needle and thread, and she said, now you're speaking Japanese, and she said, if you want me, I'll be in that room that has the fire on top of it that I've seen you boil things with once.
Yeah.
I said, it's called a kitchen, and she said, whatever, and she split.
I'm afraid to ask the next question. Is 24 inches a big head?
I guess it is. I mean, if you look at it...
My bicep's 15 inches.
That's a big bicep.
But not for a human head. Just double that would not make that big of a
head.
Well,
that's a decent point. Yeah. Maybe we need to get a cloth tape in here and figure it out.
I'm adding an inch just so my friends will be impressed.
Hey, Kelly?
Yeah, Adam.
Can you go ahead and submit a picture over there at AdamCarolla.com?
I will. I'd be pleased to do so.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. Hold up a piece of ID so we know who you are.
I will do that, sir.
And hold up some kind of reasonably good-sized melon next to your head.
Well, be creative.
A cantaloupe or something would be good.
Be creative. Yeah. Johnny from Palm Springs says his brother calls him Fathead. That's what I love about guys. We don't dance around a problem.
Right.
We hit it. Head on.
Yeah.
Another guy, Richard, says his head looks like it has two brains. It's massive. Sure, it doesn't work like it has two brains, but it looks like it. And, of course, Ernie from Fullerton. And, again, anybody named Ernie's in the, you know, leader in the clubhouse, at least at this initial phase of my huge Cabeza competition. Unfortunately, we's plumb out of time. So I'll tell you what. You all go to AdamCarolla.com, submit your picture. I will review it. And again, normally you take pictures, you try to look flattering. You know, if you have a scar on one side of your face, you shoot from the other. If you have a double chin, you don't hold the camera down at your waist.
Right.
This is an instance where you are going to want to be as unflattering as you possibly can, right, as far as your huge head
goes.
Not
only, if your head's big enough, you should not have a good side. You should have a good area.
Right.
Like there should be best area.
A good region.
There's like a good eighth.
Southwest region of this guy's head,
yeah, exactly.
is the most attractive. All right, we'll follow up. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Well, just enough time to hand out some thanks where thanks are due. Molly Sims. Beautiful. Molly Sims. Easy on the eyes. And when I say eyes, I mean I would like to have sex with her. And when I say eyes, I mean me and Danny.
We had other guests, for God's sake.
Molly Sims, Las Vegas, Friday, 10 o'clock, NBC. Also, she's promoting Drink Well, the world's worst detective, the world's drunkest detective, Frank Drinkwell. No, world's first guide to best places for quality drinks. Go to idrinkwell.com. Christopher Titus. What a mensch. Big Shots, 10 o'clock tonight on ABC. Oh, I almost forgot. Drawn Together tonight, Comedy Central. One of the greatest cult shows I've ever done. Drawn Together, truly one of the funniest, edgiest animated shows on television. 10:30 tonight, Comedy Central. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
Sims is clingy.